Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Taryn watches live feeds all day long. Brent's always there to say when he's wrong. They've got the feud that just won't quit. And Melissa's the one who has to deal with their sh**. Now the LSD, they don't do it for free. While you're living your life, they're watching TV. Now the LSD, they do it for you. Watching, and soon you'll be watching them too.
Hello everyone, and welcome to our Big Brother 21 Roundtable Podcast. It's the final Roundtable Podcast of Big Brother 21, where we will be wrapping up all of our thoughts on the season, putting a stamp on it, and saying this is what it was, and this is how the players were, and giving the ratings, and all of the good stuff that we've got for you. So I hope you're prepared. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is somebody that we have not seen for a while, Melissa Denny. How you doing, Melissa?
I'm doing good. I'm very excited to talk about Big Brother since I was not able to talk about Big Brother, basically surrounding the finale. So I haven't really gotten to give my opinion of it. I'm also excited to go through everything with you guys and kind of wrap everything up since we never really got to do that. So very excited to be here.
Yes. Also with me today is, of course, Brent. How you doing, Brent?
I missed your voices, you guys. I just have to tell you, just like so Alexandra in the chat said, I missed your voices. I missed your voices, Taryn and Melissa. It's so nice to talk with you again.
Well, it's good to be talking with you two. Good to be putting a bow on the Big Brother 21 season as we move forward into new shows and new seasons of shows. So we are live on YouTube here. You can join us in the chat if you want. I also did send out a survey on Twitter. If you are interested, you still have some time to fill that out before we really get down to the answers. But I asked you to rate all of the players and the season, and I had some other questions as well. So check that out if you haven't already. And if you're listening to this after the fact, then don't bother. No point.
Don't bother.
But let's get into this because, in particular, I really want to know from you, Melissa, what your thoughts were from the finale. You know, the last time we spoke was before the finale, and we were anticipating, you know, a finale with potentially Nicole in there in the mix. That didn't happen, but I do think we did kind of anticipate that Jackson would likely be the winner, but that Holly had some chance to get in there. Were you surprised that Jackson won? What were your thoughts?
Well, you know, I was very depressed that Nicole did not make it. I felt like it was such a good redemption story where it was like the underdog comes, rises like the phoenix, you know, from the ashes. And it just would have been so poetic had she won, but she did not. And so after she got out, I was like, it was kind of sad. I mean, I felt depressed. I felt like I mean, once we heard the results on the live feeds about Nicole not making it, it was sad. And I felt like I didn't really want to talk about the show. I felt disappointed. But, you know, I do think that Jackson played a really impressive game. I think we all need to give him credit. While it may not be, you know, the smoothest or the nicest or whatever, he was a very strong player and he did what it took. I mean, he did whatever it took, including making up a giant lie about his buddy Tommy. So I have to say, I really do think he deserved the win in the end. He fought hard and I was pleased with the result, I guess. but it was the weirdest finale I've like ever seen. So awkward. You know, even when it should have been an interesting conversation or an interesting moment where, you know, Kemi got to say her piece, and then kind of like confront these issues, I don't feel like it was handled properly, because I feel like if you're going to bring something up, you don't just have somebody say like, you know, this whole thing was bad, I didn't like your behavior, now what do you have to say? And then they give an apology for who knows what. They don't know at that point. They were in the jury house. Jackson was still in the house. They didn't know. So then they just apologize for like something. They don't know what they did wrong yet. And then Julie goes, Kemi, do you accept their apology? It's like this weird dynamic where then Kemi's like, no. And then it's like, I mean, she didn't say no, but she said like, you know, you have to know, I want you to know what you're apologizing for before I'll accept it. And which makes sense, but it's like the way it was handled made it so that they couldn't know what it was before apologizing. So I kind of wish that they had handled it, as awkward as it was, I kind of wish they had handled it like they did with Jack, where it was like they explained to him like, hey, take a look at this. This is not cool. Now what do you have to say for yourself? You know, at least it'd be better than just saying like, apologize for your actions. And they're like, well, we don't know what we did. So that was just like, that was very strange. And then, you know, like the last like 20 seconds she gives to Bella to say something, and like, it like zero time spent. And, you know, it just was very awkward. And then the whole time Julie's like, guys, you only have 20 seconds to say your piece, which obviously we hate. I really hate that it's like you have like 10 seconds to plead your case. And then it's like, come on, move on. We got to get to these commercials. It's like it's not cool. And then Jackson's reaction to winning, it wasn't exciting and fun. It was just like, ooh, this is very strange. And people are like trying to hug him and he's just like stone faced. The one thing I can say is Nicole wins America's Favorite Player and she's so shocked and happy. And that was a great moment. But overall, weirdest finale I've seen in Big Brother history, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just further establishes that we need more time during the finale. B, there should be a reunion show of some sort. Yes. Where things can be addressed, like Bella talking to Nick, like Kemi talking to whoever, with clips being shown. That would have been great. So let's just put that out into the universe.
I feel like we do that every year.
Yeah.
It's such a no-brainer, though. It really is. I don't know if, like, here's the thing. Mia, it might be Julie Chen. That may be the issue, that she doesn't feel comfortable in a format like that, like hosting the house guests and asking questions. I mean, it would just be an extension. I know you do, and we would love to have you. But I'm that's the only thing I can think of, because otherwise this is such a no-brainer for them to do something like this, where they have it out with everybody and really get down into the nitty-gritty of what people wanted to say to each other, what they have to say to each other, things that they couldn't necessarily say on a live show. I don't know. Just it would be such a wonderful time and really cathartic for the audience, and they don't give it to us, and it's really unseemly, and I hate it, and they need to fix it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely a weird finale. Definitely the saddest winner I think I've ever seen. By the way, the finale.
I think that was a put on. I think that Jackson acting the way he was, I think that whole thing was fake to me, because I haven't seen any humility since then, Taryn. In other interviews, I know that your interview with him has not come out yet, or just recently has come out.
I think it actually just dropped.
Yes, so. Of course, we haven't had time to listen to it before the show came on, but I haven't seen what I needed to see from him. So I feel like that sense of hangdog shame that we saw at the end of Big Brother, if it was anything, it was for the fact that he got caught. Because otherwise, from what I've seen lately from him talking to other interviewers, it just seems like that he has an answer for everything, and it was a plan, and he's not going to apologize for shit, or he will apologize if he hurt your feelings, which of course we all know isn't a real apology. He won't own anything. So, you know, I tell you what, tell me something different. Tell me that your interview with him will, I am going to listen to it. if not for the outrage more than anything. But tell me that he at least owns something in that interview.
Well, I mean, I think first I'd say that I don't think it requires humility to feel very upset in that moment. I don't think that, like, whether or not he ends up owning anything, I think that I think it was genuine. I don't think it was fake. I mean, like, basically, like, if you are humiliated on live television, whether or not it's justified, whether or not you admit to it or own up to it or think it's fake or whatever, like, you are going to feel very upset about that. And yeah. So I don't think it was faked.
I don't think he was upset. I think he thinks, you know what, this is bullshit, and I'm just gonna. But I think he knows enough. He's smart enough, and we've seen this throughout the season, to know that he needed to act a little contrite in that moment and a little ashamed in order to get some of the heat off of him. That's my opinion of it.
I feel like he wasn't acting contrite, though. Is the thing is, I feel like in all of his responses, like, I mean, even with the question that was like, "Hey, some people feel like you were disrespectful to women." And he's like, what, how can you please explain why that should be rewarded? And then he's like, yeah, I'm not, like, I've never been. It's like, okay, but that wasn't the question. The question was that, like, some people feel this way about you and your behavior, so, like, please explain, like, you know, talk about that. Instead he's just like, yeah, no, that didn't happen, and I would never do that. So the end. Yeah. And so I feel like his answers aren't, he wasn't contrite, and I do feel like his reaction was genuine, but I don't feel like it was like a, I don't feel like it was a reaction that was intended to make us feel that he felt bad about, like, his comments or anything. I think it was just like the way he felt. I think he felt like ambushed and that, like, his moment was ruined.
I feel like he wanted us to feel sorry for him. I felt like that's what was happening there, that he wanted us to feel sorry for him and that he was mad that his big confetti moment was taken away from him. Look, okay,
I do think he was upset that his big confetti moment was taken away from him. I think he was like, I'm in the finale and I'm about to win this show, and then it's like you drop this big bomb on him and make him look bad on TV, and like, you know, do this whole serious conversation, and then all of a sudden be like, yay, you did it, celebrate. And it's like, well, he's not gonna want to celebrate. He's gonna be like, what the heck just happened? Like, what yeah. was So I don't know. I do think it was genuine, but I don't think it was necessarily like, oh God, I feel so bad. I feel so terrible for everyone.
No,
like, I don't
never
like that.
Never.
And, you know, just really quickly about the reunion show idea, like Jeffrey in the chat suggested, like, why not do something on All Access afterwards? Like a few weeks later, whatever, a week later, whatever, where they've had time to, like, decompress for a minute, then do it on All Access. It doesn't really cost them anything. Just, like, put them in a room. They're under contract. So why not do it?
They want people to watch CBS All Access.
Right, exactly. They want people to stay on because people cancel it right after the show's over because the live feeds aren't on anymore. So, you know, if you hold that little carrot out, like, hey, if you stay on for an additional week, you get to see the reunion show. You know,
yeah. By the way, I just want to put a big shout out there to Matt Ligori, who reminded me to cancel my CBS All Access, and I wouldn't if not for him.
I saw his tweet. He's like, I don't know who needs to see this, but cancel your CBS All Access.
I at least canceled it until the Picard Star Trek thing happens in January. So thank you, Matt.
Well, I can tell you, and I don't want to misrepresent what he said, but my interpretation of what Jackson said to me in his interview was that when he was confronted with those things at the finale, he was in shock because he did not know what it was that he was being confronted with. And so he at the time thought it was, like, really bad. And now afterward, he's like, oh, that's all it was. It was, you know, camp director and whatever. Like, he feels like he thought it was much worse and he was very worried about that. And then afterward was like, oh, this is what it is. I wish that I had known what it was so that I could have reacted in a different way. That was my takeaway, but I of course recommend that you go listen to what he has said exactly, because I talked to him for like 3.5 hours, and, you know, it's a lot to remember. But that was my interpretation of what he was saying. So take that for what you will.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. <All right. laughs> I want to tell people because I feel like I can't be disingenuous with the chat. So like right before the episode started tonight, I asked Taryn. I said, okay, so I just want to know one thing. So did Jackson own the fact that he cheated as a have not? Like, that's all I want to know. Did he own the fact that he cheated as a have not? Because we all know that he cheated as a have not. And I feel like if he owns it, then I could maybe take him a little seriously. Like, there might be a little bit of honesty in some of his answers. No, he did not. He did not own it. Taryn told me he did not own it. He said that there was a protein smoothie that he was eating. And he, even when confronted with the footage, that the yada, 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 that, and even when Taryn pushed him further, that Jackson was basically like, look, this is my answer. Move on. So
I feel like
I'm going to listen to this podcast only for the outrage alone. I want to see how mad can I get? Because there have been times where I've listened to you, Taryn, interviewing people, and I'm like literally like yelling at my phone. And I'm hoping that this podcast can get me to that point. But God bless you for asking him that question and pushing him further on that, because I'm glad someone did.
I think if he didn't win the show, he might be more open to saying that he did cheat on have nots.
Oh,
because he won the show. I could see a situation where he's like, I don't want them to take my money away from me when they know they find out that I've broken the rules. Like, I know they wouldn't, but like, I could see a situation where it's like, I don't want to risk it. I don't want to, like, if that's in the rule book, I don't want to, you know, say that I did this until maybe like way later, like maybe like 2 years from now, we'll hear from him and he'll be like, oh yeah, duh.
Yeah. It's a weird hill to die on, honestly. Like, I don't care. I think the people that do care are people that already hate him and like are using this as a weapon rather than this being the sticking. Like, nobody is like, you know what? If he didn't cheat as a have not, I like Jackson. Otherwise, I hate him. Like,
yeah, no.
There are other sticking points. Honestly, it's whatever for me. Overall, it was a long interview. We went through his entire game. I felt like he was. It did feel like that, you know, him and Holly had watched the season by the time I spoke to them. It did seem like they were, ready with certain points. In fact, they both had similar things to say about certain things.
Collusion.
but I did, because of how detailed the interviews are, I do feel like there were some good points about the strategy of the game that Jackson had throughout the season that I was interested in hearing. So if you are interested in that, I do believe that one just dropped audio right now. The video should be coming. So check that one out if you are interested.
So what you're saying is that he had things prepared to say at times, correct?
Well, I think that him and Holly watched the season and talked about it amongst themselves. And I think this is true of anybody that watches the season. I do try to get them before they watch the season, because once they watch it, that's when they finalize in their mind what happened. And if two people watch it together, then they're going to finalize that together. And so wasn't surprising to me that they said similar things, because I'm sure they talked about it, and they basically haven't been apart since the show ended. It was not super surprising to me, but it would have been more fun for me if I had gotten to them before they had watched the episodes. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Speaking of the interviews, has there been anything that you guys have learned in the postseason interviews, in any of the postseason quote unquote drama, anything to catch anybody up on at this point? Because from my perspective, honestly, the interviews that I've conducted, the interviews that I've listened to, have mostly just been pretty much what I expected to hear. I haven't really been surprised by anything too much, other than perhaps the backyard interviews, when I did learn that Nicole likely would have beaten Holly. That was good information to know. And that the jury did respect Nicole to some degree. But apart from that, I didn't feel like I learned anything super different game wise. But Brent, you raised your hand.
Yeah, there was kind of an in the weeds sort of strategy question, which I had talked about at the time on the roundtable, even brought up with Rob on the show, and it never really came to fruition on the show and was never talked about on the show. But listening to Cliff's interview with you, I was so glad and also a little bummed to hear that when he won the veto during the double eviction at the final six, so Nicole wins HOH, Cliff wins the veto, Cliff said to you that he thought about using the veto on Christy, taking Christy down and putting up Jackson and Holly just to get Tommy out of the game, because that's what he wanted to have happen. He wanted Tommy out of the game, and that really would have changed history at that point. I mean, you can obviously argue, let's get Jackson out of the game, and that would have been an equally good move as well. We don't know what would have happened then, but if you get Tommy out of the game, then I feel like things look different, especially at the final five. I think they definitely get rid of Holly at the final five, and who knows what happens after that point. So I do feel like that Cliff saying and even recognizing, hey, I thought about doing that, but I didn't do that. Really, it was good for me to know, because at least he recognized that that move was in front of him. And number two, I feel like that when you have a move that you're thinking about making and then you don't make it, I feel like more times than not, you end up regretting it. Every time throughout the season, it feels like that people thought about a move that they were going to do and then they held back. Then they end up regretting that move. Like Tommy and his crew at the Six Shooters, when they were going to get rid of Kat, and then they backtracked on that and then ultimately didn't get rid of Kat and instead got rid of Sam. Nicole and Cliff at the final five, when they were going to get rid of Holly, and then they changed their minds and went back and kept Holly. I feel like if you think about it and you think about making the flashier move, it's probably in your best interest to make the flashier move. Cliff recognized that, but he held back. I don't know. I guess because he didn't want to make it look like he was betraying Jackson and Holly, even though he would have ultimately saved both of them, because he wanted to get Tommy out of the game there. I really feel like that was a missed opportunity. And God, if there's one thing I would have loved to have seen, it's that.
Well, it's interesting because when I talked to Cliff from his perspective, he said that he felt like Nicole really preferred Christy to go. And when I talked to Nicole, she was like, yeah, a little bit. Like, either one of them could have gone, but yeah, I guess I did maybe a little bit prefer Christy. And it feels to me, because I never saw them really talk about it prior to the double eviction. I don't think they really discussed which of the two would go. They just discussed which pair they would go with. It seemed to me just that, like, it, by the nature of the double eviction, it just kind of went unspoken, that like Cliff kind of felt like he was alone amongst the rest of that the other three all wanted Christy gone, and Nicole maybe just a little bit wanted Christy gone. But if she knew that Cliff really wanted Tommy gone, then she, I think, would have easily switched over. But because it went so fast, it just kind of went unspoken. And then Christy ended up going home.
And also, like, just to think about it, I like take it a step further. Remember that Nicole didn't even get the stupid ball in the net the first time around. If she would have missed it a second time around, Tommy would have won HOH for them and would have done the dirty work for them. And it seems like Cliff even recognized that in his interview with you, that Tommy would have done what they probably needed to do. It was almost like, so why didn't you let him win if you knew that? But
you mean from Nicole's perspective? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I did ask Nicole, like, you know, should you have thrown it? But, you know, she was essentially said what we knew at the time, which is that, like, she needed to get wins on her resume, and you never know for sure, you know, whether or not somebody is actually going to do what you think they're going to do. And so why intentionally put yourself in danger? But yeah, point taken, yeah, for sure.
Just so weird there. It was like the perfect number too, because six, there's no way that Cliff and Nicole, because she's HOH and Cliff's only one vote, they can't get what they want there with those two people on the block. They can't get Tommy out. They have to do some sort of quote unquote sneaky move, and then they might lose face with their fellow house guests. So it was really unfortunate timing there at the final six for that to happen.
Yeah.
Say, lovey.
Yes. So apart from that, it seems like Jack and Sis are still doing all right. Seems like certainly Holly and Jackson are still very much together at this point. Seems like Kat and Nick is a weird situation.
God bless her.
Not exactly sure what's going on there. Still getting conflicted messages about what even happened in the jury house, even though we kind of got confirmation. But that's definitely an interesting situation.
I feel like normally when seasons are over, there's been, or at least like in the past few seasons, it's been a surprising result in the end where it's like people vote for people you wouldn't expect them to. And so afterwards it's like, okay, we need these interviews with people because we need to figure out like what they were thinking. I mean, thinking about, you know, getting Johnny's interview for Big Brother Canada when Paris won, and then getting Paris's interview so we could hear like what her strategy was. I just feel like those were like there were a lot of revelations in those where I feel like these interviews, it was kind of straightforward where it was like, we basically what they told us was what we kind of already thought. Mm-hmm. Whereas for previous seasons, it was like, it was basically trying to suss out like what happened in the end. Like, what were you thinking? What ended up like swaying your vote? And finding that sort of information out. But I feel like this season has been pretty, you know, this postseason has been pretty boring. I mean, if I'm going to say that, and I don't just mean like, you know, with after season drama between the cast, like that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just like finding out information about their games. Cause I feel like everyone, I guess, just played a straightforward game and we could kind of see what they were doing the whole time. So, you know, this postseason coverage has been interesting, but not any, I wasn't finding out any new information really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, I think that through my, you know, interviews, I haven't really been super surprised by anything that the players have said to me. There've been a couple times where I'm like, oh, good to have confirmation about that. Good to know I was right about that. But apart from that, it's been pretty straightforward. I think it's going to be hard to match. I was in full detective mode in Big Brother Canada 6. I was really uncovering a mystery. But there's not always a mystery to be solved at the end of the season.
That's the truth. I mean, really, I this was the first time that I really was, and I think the two of you felt this as well. It's not like we don't want to be here and talk to you guys. We obviously love you guys and we love doing the show, but this was the one final roundtable that I was like, meh. Like,
yeah, because, usually like, I'm like, we gotta talk.
Right? We gotta talk about this. This is the first season where I'm just like we saw what happened. We know why they voted the way they did. Come on. Yeah. Like, there's no there anymore.
I feel like, it's good to talk and to kind of recap the season and kind of talk about each of the individual players and how they did, you know, all that sort of stuff. But generally, there's not much to get into. There's not like a lot of details that we need to discuss in terms of what we found out postseason or even really what happened in the season finale. It really wasn't that wild and crazy. It was just pretty awkward and strange. And that was about it. So, you know, that's that.
I'll say this, that my interactions with Caitlin Herman postseason have been more interesting than the revelations from this cast has.
I believe it.
All right. Love you, Kate.
So great.
All right. Well, one of the reasons why we still get together to talk about the season as a whole is to try to put it into some context. Try to now that we've seen the whole thing and we have a little bit of distance, how can we look back and give our final sort of thoughts on the season, how we felt about it as a whole, and, you know, maybe where we would place it in a theoretical season rankings, which we have done very recently. So I'm curious to know. I asked the audience how they thought. Pretty consistent ratings overall. I asked them to rate the episodes, the feeds, and then the season as a whole. And episodes and feeds were 5.6 average rating, and the season as a whole a 5.5. So pretty consistent throughout there, and landing on a 5.5. Melissa, you said that sounds right to you. Is that around where you would put it?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like it's a very middling season. I don't know if it's really going to be remembered for much of anything really at this point. I think we would be having a different answer if Nicole had won, because then it would be the story of the underdog, you know, winning. And that's not to take anything away from Mickey's win. I do think he's a really good game player. I respect his game totally. But is it an exciting story? No. So I think that that's the difference, is if Nicole had won in the end, I think the story of Nicole going from, you know, the bottom and, you know, the bullying or whatever you want to call it, and then, you know, you move that towards the end and, you know, she rises and rises and then victory. Wow, what a great story. That's a good story. That's what you'll remember. This new Jackson being in power and then, like, you know, turning on his allies. But also, like, do we like this? Are we happy about this? Like, we don't really know. But he turns on his allies to help Nicole and Cliff, or it helps Nicole and Cliff. Oh, that's a great thing. But is it great for Mickey? I don't know. So I'm not too keen on the storyline, and you got to love a good story. So I could see why it's ranked as a middling season.
It's interesting because the last roundtable we did was before the finale. And at that point, people said that they would rate the season as a whole at a 5.1. And so that has gone up fairly considerably since the finale and since we've gotten some distance. So it actually seems to, that was before people knew that Jackson won. Although I do believe that Nicole had already lost part two. So they knew that Nicole wasn't going to win. So knowing that Nicole wasn't going to win, it was still something that I think the audience enjoyed, that they preferred to see Jackson win over Holly, and some distance seems to have given the season a little bit of a bump. So I'm interested to see if that's something that continues, that if the more distance we get from the season, the higher the rating might go up to. It probably has a ceiling at around a six or so. But I think there are some forgotten moments, maybe not forgotten, but overlooked moments from the season that were pretty good throughout. There were some really great, exciting, Taco Tuesday, Day 44. There are some pretty good points throughout the season that I do think will pop on a rewatch, especially when you don't have to sit through the feeds and wait. It's an entirely different experience watching a season on a binge, and I feel like that's often what will stick in your head when you are thinking about, you know, ranking the season, you know, 5 years from now. So I'm very curious to know where we will see this season 5 years from now.
I feel like this season could have similarities to Big Brother 15, which I didn't love at the time that it was happening. In fact, kind of hated Andy and didn't appreciate what was happening on the screen or on my feeds. But then as time has moved on, I'm like, wow, that season, you know, it had a couple of black eyes, but it really had some great gameplay and some fun characters. And I do feel like in many ways that this season is similar to that. Like, there were some definite problematic moments, but there was some pretty fantastic gameplay from a few different people, some outrageous moments. I mean, you know, like water cooler, I don't want to say buzzkill, but buzzworthy events that happened in the house, which we were just like absolutely fascinated by on the TV. I mean, like, there are at least four off the top of my head. You mentioned Taco Tuesday and Day 44, but also like the Nicole bullying night where, I mean, I think I was working that night and I saw all over my Twitter, oh my God, Nicole's in trouble. And like everyone's just hearts are sinking. Like, and we're seeing what's happening in that room. And then you fast forward to the final five when Jackson makes up this big lie, and we had, you know, then the feeds went down.
That was pretty wild.
On purpose. And then we got to experience that at a live finale, or a live show between the few of us. So that was really, really fun. And I do feel like that there's a lot of really great moments from the season, even though it has its obvious problems.
Yeah. Alexa in the chat says, am I crazy for thinking this season was better than Big Brother 20? The ending sucked and we all knew the end game. Liv says, I think it's in the top half. The physical comps in the end brought it down for me quite a bit, but it was fun to watch. So
I think it's better than last season because I felt like there wasn't just a march to the end. I feel like there was true competition between
anything can happen
sides. Yeah, it was like, you know, I mean, especially as we got down to the end, it was, you know, Christy and Tommy, and you have Jackson and Holly, and you have Nicole and Cliff. And I felt like all six of those people, any of them could have won. Like, I had no idea what was going to happen. And I feel like that's really the key is, like, if you get down to the end and you don't know what's going to happen, that's exciting. Whereas in Big Brother 20, it was basically like, yeah, we know Tyler's going to be there. Like, it's just, okay, is Casey going to be there with him? Like, we don't know. Like, we all thought Tyler was going to win. He didn't win. But it was still a march to the end with Tyler, you know, real competition. I didn't feel like there was strong gameplay by anyone else. So, you know.
With BB20, it was like for a month and a half, it was there are two outcomes. Tyler wins or Casey wins. One of them is a great outcome. The other one's like, okay. And so after a month and a half of waiting, you got the okay. And I was like, oh, all right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Fine. Great. Yeah. I feel like another thing is that I just remember us saying that this season, the first half was not good, but the second half was really good. I mean, there was some strong gameplay in the second half, and it was a good end game.
Also, I feel like there were some good villains in this season. Like, even Jackson is a bit of an anti-hero to most of the audience watching at home, not the people watching the feeds. I feel like Jack was a fantastic villain, somebody that everybody could get behind as like, oh God, we're so happy he's out of the house, you know. In fact, I really truly believe that that's why Big Brother did not do a buyback challenge, which they almost certainly would have done. They hated him so much that they didn't do a buyback challenge and literally changed their schedule at the end, which they've never done before, where we had an entire week for the final four, which we've never had before. And until like maybe Big Brother 10, maybe, because since they went to a live finale, it's always been like that 2-day turnaround from final five to final four. Yeah, that's how much they didn't like Jack, and I was here for it.
I thought Christy was.
I was going to say Christy.
Yeah, the best villain.
She was great. Yeah, I loved
Christy. She was great. I wish she'd own it more. Gosh.
I know. Yeah. Imagine if she was in the DR, like, totally owning it. It would just be so good.
That was part of why she was such a great villain, because she didn't even know she was the villain at the time.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
right. But, you know, she was very entertaining, very good. She created her own drama, and it was very great casting for Christy. It was a season that was... It had its bad moments, certainly, but it had its good, exciting moments. And, you know, we've got some good characters that came out of it. And I don't think I've ever seen Big Brother, Reddit, Twitter, like Tumblr, YouTube, whatever, all united as they were this season. I just feel like everyone was like, go, Nicole, and you know, Jackson, Jack, get them all out, you know.
Well,
so it's very exciting.
It's funny because I feel like in the postseason there has been a bit of a divide, weirdly. But you know, it's typical of the postseason. There's some crazy people in the postseason.
Everyone in the postseason, just like everyone who's there for like the strategy, just like leaves, and then everyone who's there for the drama is like, okay, what's the cast doing now?
Yep.
What's their life? Who's doing Instagram lives? Who's in Vegas? Like, everyone just wants to know everything, all the gossip.
Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. So I asked people.
By the way, sorry, before you ask, Melissa, is Tumblr still around?
It is, but not a lot of people use it.
Okay, okay.
I remember during Big Brother 16, though, I was like all over Tumblr.
Oh, right? Melissa was a Tumblr person.
I was. Well, because I didn't use Twitter. And so, like, I was on Tumblr trying to be like, I didn't even know that there was like a Big Brother, like, section of Tumblr. So, like, I just did. I was on Tumblr.
I didn't either.
Tumblr stuff. And yeah. Then I, like, randomly searched the Big Brother hashtag and I was like,
and you found Zanky.
I found Zanky. I literally like was like, what the heck is going on here? But it was very, very fun at the time. Now it's like, I don't go on it. But hey, you know what? At the time, I was a Zanky fan. I got to say.
Oh, yeah.
There you
go. Admit it. I fully admit it.
I watched a video with Zach. Like I was on Twitter. I was like a month ago. Somebody retweeted. They said this was when Big Brother was really good. And I think it was right after Nicole had lost part two. So we're all feeling really down. And it was a video of just Zach being Zach for like a good 5-6 minutes. And it was like, oh, it was so great. I'm like, oh my God, I loved you on my television. You were so fantastic.
I was so sad when Zach left. I know. I cried. I was like, it's so embarrassing, but I like cried at the time. I was like, he's not going to be on my screen anymore.
Yeah, I think we actually did a lot better than the person who formerly had our job, by the way. Because that's
yeah. Yeah, I didn't lose my mind. But, you know, Zach was a very fun character.
All right. Well, I asked the audience, where would you rank the season as a whole if you had to rank it in with the other seasons? And about 50% said right in the middle. So it's a middle season. Only about 14% said top half or best. In fact, there were 10 people that said it was the best season. So kudos to you. And then about 35% said bottom half. Very few people said worst, though. Most of the answers are middle. Second most would be bottom half. And then like about half of that top half. So we're looking at like probably bottom middle from the audience here.
Yeah.
Yes. So. I want to talk about the players. I want to go through the players. We'll give a final goodbye to each of the players as we rate them. We rate them as a player overall. Now, these are ratings out of 10, as we usually do throughout the season. But these are a little bit different because in the season, we're talking about their potential to win the game along with their ability and everything else. This is a little bit different. We're looking at them as a whole. So we're removing, you know, their likelihood to win because they're not playing the game anymore. But we are trying to project their likelihood to win any given season. So if you drop this player into 1,000 random first time seasons, how often would you expect them to win, and how would you compare that to some other random player? So if we look at it from Dan Giesling's point of view, if you drop him into a 1,000 random seasons, I expect him to win more than probably anybody else I would expect to win a 1,000 random seasons. And if you dropped in Victoria into 1,000 random seasons, then I think 1,000 times you'll get Victoria telling you that she was the mastermind, but probably came in second place in like 90% of them. So that's what we're looking at.
Forewarning, I was very harsh in my readings, or at least harsh for me.
Well, that's fair. We're going to start with Bella. It was an interesting one here. Bella, I think, had the strangest strategy I have perhaps ever seen on Big Brother, and I watched Luan, so that's pretty interesting. She made friends pretty easily. She made allies very easily, and she just immediately ratted them all out all the time, and herself all the time. It was pretty ridiculous. Melissa, what was your view on Bella?
Yeah, Bella, I was very excited about her at first. I thought that she, she got along with people. It was very exciting. And then all of a sudden, she just decided that for every move in the game, she was going to act against her own interest. And she was going to self-sabotage every chance she got. And she made a lot of dumb moves in the house, like just all of her moves were dumb. They were all bad. She ratted out her own alliances. She, you know, yelled at her own allies. She got into many fights. She was volatile. It was not good at all. And so I am rating her a one.
How dare you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's a lot of ones in this, actually.
I'm going to keep it brief. But I was totally aghast there because for some reason I had no idea who this was calling me on Skype at the very moment that I'm trying to do a podcast. But I will not give her a one, and I'm inclined to give people ones because that's what I do. But I feel like she's probably a two. I mean, like, I feel like there's a smidge in there, Taryn, that if she, I don't know, had a little bit of instruction and came back again, I don't feel like she would make, I feel like she would make some of the same mistakes, but I don't feel like she'd make them to the extent and to the gravity that she did this time. I feel like that she did sort of understand where she went wrong. She hasn't owned a lot of her behavior, but she's at least owned the fact, yeah, I probably shouldn't have said as much, and I probably shouldn't have thrown Cammy under the bus. She was actually loyal to me and things like that. So it's a two. Sorry. That wasn't brief, but
to be fair, I was going to give her a two. And then I looked at the description again that Taryn had put where 10 is a Dan Giesling. And I was like, no, she's not.
It's too close.
I literally too was close. Like, that's too close to Dan Giesling for my comfort. So I have to give her less.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It's a one for me, and it's a really easy one for me. I mean, this is just she was a player that actively sabotaged her own chances in the game at every possible opportunity. She shouldn't have even gone the week that she did. And granted, she wouldn't have if not for a twist. But I think she would have been gone very soon after if not for the twist anyway. So it was really just a very, very bad gameplay. So it's a one for me. The audience did feel more similar to Brent, though. They gave her a two.
That's
really bad. I mean, the fact that it's like, oh, they felt good about her, they gave her a two, is just like, that is so bad. Oh boy.
Well, there you go. So I started going alphabetically, but actually let's just go in the order of eviction here. We'll go from the end up now that I've got the chart in front of me. So let's talk about David. Now, he's obviously very difficult to talk about. There are a few different things to, I think, address when talking about David. First of all, we never saw him play the actual game. Second, we have a lot of like secondhand accounts about how David was playing when he was there. And that all those all seem negative, but the people saying those things, how well can they be trusted? There's certainly a lot of them, but we also have heard a lot of people talk about a lot of things about a lot of people in a lot of ways that I don't think are very reliable. So I think that for me, I'm going to ignore what is said about David in the first few hours that people knew him and the reasons why they decided that they needed to trash talk him a lot for the rest of the season, and focus on what I saw from him in the house when he was there. And what I saw was pretty good. He was nice, respectable, cleaned in the house, seemed to have a decent social game, really started to try to get in with people. He seemed to have a good read on the house. I liked what I saw. He definitely, I don't know how well he would have done if he had made it back into the game. There were some awkward interactions that he did have where I think he did kind of come on a little strong sometimes with like, hey, I know, I can see. It was like, whoa, what do you mean? But overall, I like David. I feel like he has potential. It's obviously unrealized, and I can't really give him anything too high given just the overall situation. So I went with a three for David. I'd love to see him play again. I'd love to see his potential, but I just have seen so little of him that it's hard to give him too much credit when he was, you know, didn't go very far.
Yeah, I feel like I'm with you there. It's a three. I mean, there's just not a lot to go on, but I do feel like that what I saw of him, there could be a moldable player there for Big Brother, and I feel relatively good about him. And he seems like it seems I mean, I don't know what the hell this cast was thinking early on, but, and remember, he, as people pointed out to me, he wasn't actually evicted. He was banished and just didn't win his way back into the house. So it's not like the house got together and decided to get rid of David. So, you know, having looked at that, I feel like that he's probably personable enough that people would probably gravitate to him in a different season, possibly. So it's a 3 for me.
Okay, get ready for a flaming hot take.
Okay. Oh boy. Well, you were very high on David throughout the season, so I'm expecting.
I am very high on David. I'm giving him a 7.
Whoa!
I am, and I'm doing it, okay? And I knew this was going to be controversial, but I was like, you know what? I feel strongly. I gave him an 8, and then I crossed it out and put a 7. So, you know, that's how I feel about David. He is so intelligent. He's so smart, had such a good read on everyone from not even, he wasn't even in the house when everything was happening. And then he was able to come into the house and, like, in about 5 minutes of being with these people, was able to understand all the dynamics of the house and articulate them, and also know what he needed to do if he had gotten back in the house, to, you know, infiltrate those groups and find his in. And he's, I thought that he was very good at getting along with people. I mean, I don't know what these people had a problem with him about. He seemed very easy to get along to from what I saw on the feeds. He seemed like a good housemate. He seemed very personable and funny. And even Kat in her AMA on Reddit said that she would have gotten into a showmance with him. So clearly he was winning people over. And, you know, I think that if you dropped him into a season that didn't have this sort of issue and the house, it would be very different. I think that he would have gotten along with people. I think everything would have been fine. And I think, because I think that one of the cons would be, well, you know, he didn't get along with people, like people didn't like him. Yeah, well, that's kind of their problem. And that's kind of the season's problem. So I don't think it's a David problem. I mean, everything I've seen of him on social media since has been super charming, super great, funny. Everything's awesome. And then not only that, he keeps a very level head. He's able to keep his cool in even crazy situations. I mean, when there was all that chaos, he would even tell Obi, like, hey, look, it's okay. Just chill out. He would be like the one voice that was like, guys, we can't confront these people. Just let it go. And I wouldn't have been able to keep a level head in that situation. So, you know, I was just very impressed with David throughout his entire time. I'm so disappointed that he didn't get to play. I really think he could be a strong player. And that's him not even knowing the game at all, not even being a fan of the game. He, like, barely knows anything about it. So I think that going in the future, I think in a future season, he would have been so amazing if he had known, you know, what to expect and what was going on, and then add that to everything that we already just saw in those brief periods of time. I just feel very strongly that he's a good player.
Yeah, I think it's fair in the sense that, again, with very little data, the points can be all over the place. It's like when a movie comes out and there's like 12 ratings and it's like totally random. Like, it could go anywhere. So I think it's fair that it, you know, with such little data, the points can vary wildly. The audience was smacked out in the middle. They gave him a 5. They didn't know where to go. So let's talk about Ovi. I can say about Ovi myself that I personally find him very charming. I think that he had a lot of skills for the game. He went in, he was certainly bamboozled by some people, certainly did not have the best showing in the game. However, I did learn, from some of the people that there was a moment that wasn't on the feeds that, while they were in lockdown, that Ovi actually had the entire HOH room, the entire cast in tears. Because he had developed a personal relationship with each one of them and knew enough about each one of them to bring something up when he went around to address each one of them, and had them feeling so bad that they were going to send him home that they were all in tears. And that spoke to me a little bit about just the potential that maybe was a little bit unrealized, that if he had been able to stay in the game just a little bit longer, that like many of that archetype, I think he could have found success. However, we did not see that realized in any way. I would love to see Ovi back, but I wouldn't really expect it. I'm going to give Ovi a 4 overall. Just again, so we saw so little of his game, but I do feel like there was some potential and certainly some bias I expect from my part, having met him and having heard those stories about his time in the house. So it's a 4 from me. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I feel similarly. I'm going to give Ovi a 3 because I do think that he's very likable. I think that obviously he had trouble, you know, interacting with the people on this season, but I think that is the people on this season problem and not an Ovi problem. So I think that if you dropped Ovi into a random season, I think he would get along with people. I think he's super likable. I think he's just charming. I really like him a lot. And from what I could see, you know, he's an intelligent guy, but I think the problem is that he's a little too trusting and doesn't have a great read on people sometimes. He's a little too naive, I felt, in that, you know, Jack was convincing him that he was his buddy and he was thought that Jackson was with him. And I just feel like he trusted people too much. And I feel like that was a problem. And I think even if you go into the next season being like, okay, Ovi, like, don't trust people so much. And he'd be like, yeah, I'm not going to trust people so much. I still feel like he would have an issue with that. Because it's hard. I mean, if you trust people, if that's in your gut, that's your instinct, like you're going to feel for these people and think that they're telling you the truth, even if they're not. So, you know, I really like Ovi a lot. But I don't know if he's got that killer instinct. So I don't know how he would fare in another game.
I feel like he's got the killer instinct, but I just worry that here's the thing. When I watched him on the feeds, he did seem kind of awkward to me. And maybe it was the cast. You can go after the cast and say maybe it was their problem, not his. But it did seem at times that he was a little awkward to me. Also, you mentioned the fact that he's too trusting. I agree with you that even if he was aware that that was an issue, you can't change who you are at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. I feel like if he went back into another season, he would again be too trusting and probably lose to someone who was lying to him. So I'm probably more down on Ovi than the rest of you. I would probably go with, I was going to say a 2, but I feel like he's too charming for that. So I'll go with a 3.
Yeah, a 2 would have been the same as Bella, which... The audience went with a 4 for Ovi, actually the same as me. So I guess I wasn't too off. All right, let's talk about Kemi. And for Kemi, let's start this time with Melissa.
Kemi, I gave Kemi a 6 because I think she's super intelligent. I thought she had a really good read on people. I thought that she was able to keep her cool in very intense situations where I certainly would not have been able to keep my cool. And I thought that she was able to get along with people well. I think that they're obviously same with the David situation and the Ovi situation. There were some issues with this cast, but I don't necessarily think they were Kemi issues. However, I do think that Kemi is not fake. And I think that that might be an issue for like long-term gameplay.
That's the problem.
I feel like she would talk even to the cameras like, oh, I don't know how much longer I can like, be like, I have to pretend like I like XYZ or whatever, and I pretend like I'm not mad about this or whatever, but which worked for the brief period of time she was in the house. But I do feel like long term that might be hard to keep in, and I could see a situation where she's like, look, I'm just gonna tell it like it is, and you're either gonna like it or you're not. And so I'm a little worried about that aspect of her personality, but overall, I think that she's very smart and she was just so intelligent. And even when confronted with a lot of issues, she was able to, you know, keep her head, and that was very impressive. So, you know, that's my score.
Brent,
what was your score? Sorry,
6.
A 6.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. no, it's a 3. I'm sorry. I'm like half as much as you are. And look, I love Kemi. I adore Kemi.
I just thought she was so smart. She's good read.
Yeah, but it doesn't do any good if you can't get people to like you. And I feel like that she is just too blunt for her own good.
I think it's a house problem, though. I think that, I mean,
No. That's it.
Like, I just feel like other people like her.
Nope.
I don't know.
Nope. I met Kemi. I love Kemi. But in Kemi, I saw me. That's not a good thing when it comes to Big Brother. She'll let a bitch have it. So no, I do not feel like she would do necessarily better on a new season of Big Brother. I feel like she'd do better than she did here, but we gotta call them like we see them. Entertainment and standability, I give you like 8s and 10s all over the place, Kemi. But as far as gameplay goes and your ability to actually win a season, I mean, it's a low 3, honey, and I love you to death. Taryn, break the tie here. Which side of the fence are you more on? be real, Taryn.
Can I be on the fence? Can I refrain from this
yeah,
one?
Yeah, the white picket fence. Yeah, okay.
I love Kemi. I met Kemi. I think she's very charming.
She is.
I think that she is perfectly capable of playing a great game in the house. But are they ever going to cast people that she can get along with? I don't know. That's a problem.
Yeah. See, if I was in the house with her, I'd be like, honey, it's me and you to the end. We're going to have it out. We're going to have fun. How many crazy nutcases? Yeah, but Nicole's such a unicorn, literally and figuratively. All right. The people that cast on reality TV are trash, and Kemi's not trash. She is the freaking goddess. So, how is she ever going to win Big Brother? I feel like this isn't shaded her. It's just like, given the people that they put in there, I don't feel like that she could get them to actually, play with her. I feel like they just want to get rid of her. Sorry. Mm.
Yes. All right. Well, Kemi for me is 10 as a person and a 3 as a player. 10 as a person. 10 as a person. Love Kemi. She's amazing. I think that she's going to win every season that she goes on. So that's my opinion there. The audience decided to go with a 4 for Kemi.
Okay.
So.
I think Alexander in the chat doesn't know how to score what you said. So it's a 3, honey.
Okay. I mean, if Brent is putting that on me, then fine. But... all right. Let's skip over Bella here and talk about Sam. Sam is definitely an interesting one. Sam, man, I feel like Sam is another one. Sam had potential. And if Sam had gone home, I think in the first couple of evictions, I'd probably be speaking more highly of Sam because of the fact that there was some potential there that maybe went unrealized. But given what I saw of Sam and how long he lasted, I just feel like... I saw the potential for the potential to be realized and that it wasn't there just wasn't potential there. Unfortunately, I think that he made a lot of mistakes throughout his time in the house from week 1, getting Ovi evicted randomly, week 2, or 3 when he knew about, Grateful and the fact that they were turning on him and Nick and did not do anything about it, yep. You know, the week that he was, up there and in danger. He fought for his life. He fought well, but he lost to Christy, who got Nicole or who kept Nicole from the block and kept Kat to go up. Then he fought with Jackson and maybe was screwed that Jackson couldn't flip the vote because Kat was up on the block. But it's because he lost the earlier battle. And then when it came down to the battle between him and Kat, when it could have been Christy and Tommy who saved him, he just kind of sat there and didn't do much, which ultimately cost him his stay in the house. I just feel like at every turn he made the wrong call and I did not love it from Sam. So, for me, it's a 2 for Sam. I'm pretty down on him here. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. You know, the one thing is I'm going to give him a 4 because I think that he's smart and I feel like I saw some potential in him, and the way he got information and I just felt like the way he was like, I'm going to throw a wrench in these plans and all that sort of stuff. I felt that was a smart game move. However, he didn't really do much with the information that he got. He was able to get the information and, you know, and keep it and internalize it. You know, even when Jack was like, oh, this is for Grateful. And he like gave it away. He didn't Sam didn't immediately be like, wait, what are you saying? What? He kept it inside. And I feel like in this game, like, knowledge is power. However, you have to do something with that knowledge in order to make it powerful. So he didn't do anything with the knowledge. And I think that that was a problem. He had careless gameplay. I felt like he didn't really have any rhyme or reason for some of the things he did, like deciding to use the veto and deciding to win the veto and all that sort of stuff. There really wasn't any thought behind that, which was unfortunate. However, I gave him some extra points because he was good at competitions. And I do feel like increasingly that's become very important in Big Brother. So I think that I wanted to give him points for that. And for the fact that he's able to suss out a lot of information, then he gets bagged down because he didn't know what to do with it. So yeah, that's why I'm giving him a 4.
Yes.
I'm with you, Taryn. I wasn't impressed by anything that he did during the game, and I wasn't really impressed by anything he did after the game. Recognizing his mistakes, I felt like that too often he didn't recognize his mistakes. He had a "yeah, but" explanation for everything. Even when I said something like during the recap, and I said, you know, "Hey, what about this?" It was all like, again, like a "yeah, but" kind of answer. And I feel like that more times than not, just a "yeah" would have sufficed, as in, "yeah, I recognize I screwed that up and I probably need to change it." So I wasn't impressed by much. And I feel like he's like a overeager dog that, you know, is so excited to use the veto. And that if given the choice, I feel like he played the exact same way again.
Yeah.
And he played timid. That's the other thing that I am so mad about. He played timid the entire season. And I feel like he would just repeat that.
Yeah, Sam is somebody who I feel like with more knowledge of the game, he could be, and I honestly don't even remember how much of the show he knew beforehand, but regardless, none of them were really live feeders, apart from the obvious ones. Certainly Sam wasn't. I feel like if Sam was somebody who listened to podcasts and was on Twitter and like watched the feeds, then the raw abilities that he did have, the social abilities, the physical abilities, I feel like those could be honed and put to good use in a way that they weren't in this season. And so that would allow me to bump him up to a higher rating. But because that was not the case, there can be all the potential in the world. If you don't know what to do with it, then you're stuck. So I feel the audience gave Sam a 4. They were with Melissa.
Okay.
There you go. Ooh, let's talk about Jack. Jack, Jack, Jack. Brent, let's start with you on Jack.
Yeah. Why? This is so hard. I didn't rate these people ahead of time like I normally do. I'm going to have to go with a 4 here. I feel pretty neutral about Jack. I do feel like that he is not going to be able to let his foot off the gas. Like, I feel like he's always going to want to win, and he's not going to be able to not do that. But the other thing is that Big Brother has changed in recent years to where they favor physical contestants. And so even though I always say someone who looks like that, they're going to vote him out. Well, Jackson kind of looked like that at the beginning of the season. No shade. And they didn't vote him out. Like, they didn't get rid of him. So I feel like Jack, he might have a shot with a certain kind of cast on a certain kind of day. So it's a 4 for me. I feel like he played a pretty good game, made one fatal mistake in, like, not realizing that Jackson was so loyal to him. Like, he could have taken that to the bank. Jackson, like, literally would have died for him in the game, and he didn't recognize how valuable that was. And I don't feel like he'd make that same mistake again.
All right, Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm giving Jack a 2, and this was a hard one. I agree. The thing is that I gave him points because he is good at competitions and he is very physical. And, you know, that's been very important in Big Brother. So he could certainly save himself if he got into some issues in the house. However, he rubs people the wrong way. He's very condescending and he doesn't seem to be able to not do that. Like, I feel like he doesn't know that that's the way he's coming across. You know, when he, you know, had the whole shaker bottle conversation with Kemi, like, I'm sure he thought that he was handling that well. Like, I'm sure he thought that he was coming across. I mean, cause he does that whole, like, you're a beautiful person thing, which is super condescending, but he, he thinks he's coming across as genuine, and he's not. And I think that that's an issue. Also, he's very domineering. He likes to control everything. He likes to control everyone. And that's not what you want in a housemate. And I feel like he would rub people the wrong way in any sort of setting. You know, he does have that sort of like charm that he can put on, but there's only so long you can wear a mask. And so I think that true colors would certainly come out in any season, in any situation. And I would be concerned for his ability to stay in the game just because he's so dominating. And so, yeah, that's why I give him a 2.
I think maybe one of my favorite moments from the postseason interviews that I've done was when I asked Nicole about when Jack was pitching to her the week that he went home, and she was like, oh yeah, he was like trying to butter me. I was like, yes, she knew, she saw right through it. Because I remembered that, and like how like he really does have a charm to him, but when he only turns it on when he needs it, it's
yeah,
very see-through.
Right through it, yeah.
So
it was almost like Nicole knew that he had once said, girls like Nicole, they don't often get to talk to guys like me.
Ugh, vomit.
Guys like Jack don't often get to talk to America's favorite player. So
that's true.
to people beloved by America.
anyway, I think that Jack, again, he has the raw materials that he can use to be good at Big Brother, good at competitions. He's charming. He's a smart guy. And I do think that he learns from his mistakes as well. I think that he is somebody that can self-correct and improve. But especially on his first go around on a season, he just didn't know enough about the show and was honestly too loyal and didn't have enough of a game sense about him to do much in the game. I think that this guy is always going to be pushed out in front and used as a figurehead because he is perfect for it. He is the perfect figurehead. He can't help but play from out in front. And so he is always going to take a hit. There was somebody like Jackson in the game next to him, and he still couldn't help being the number one target for pretty much everyone in the house for so long in the house. That's just who he is. And until he comes back to try again, that's all we've got from him. So it's a 3 from me on Jack. And the audience also went with a 3, agreeing with me. So there's that. Let's talk Cat. I'll start with Cat here. Man, Cat's another one. There's so many players here with potential, and Cat's almost like the opposite potential of like of a Sam and a Jack, where it felt like she had game knowledge. It felt like she knew what she should be doing, but somehow kept getting in her own way with the materials she had to work with, which just didn't seem like the right skill set. It seems like she has the right skill set for being a great character on the show, but translating that to playing the game well just didn't work. So often I felt like, here's the moment. She's going to take, you know, she's got this great advantage. She secretly knows Holly. They're playing it well. They're benefiting each other's game in a great way, in a mutually beneficial way, often throughout the season. But just all the time, from the first week she was in the house, she easily could have gone home because she gave people a terrible impression of herself and she was breaking down every other day, to volunteering for the block, to outing her own alliance at multiple occasions, to targeting her own alliance in multiple occasions. Even just somebody who feels like they can lie to the audience in a very blatant way just doesn't, I think, understand the basics of how I think the show and the game works. And I think that speaks against her. So it's hard because she is a funny person. She's a charming person. She knows the show. She knows the game to some degree. But there's just something missing that constantly undermined everything that she did. And so for me, it's a 3. That's what
because
I got.
She couldn't recognize who she was in the game. She couldn't recognize the position that she had in the game. It was, like I said, we talked about this on the finale when she talked about the fact that I can't remember somebody, Christy, maybe, I don't know, somebody in the cast had used their HOH to get out like bottom feeders. And she was like talking about, oh Jackson, Annalise, and somebody else. Who else is the person? Jessica. Yes. And she just reveled in that I was not a bottom feeder. Yes, you were. You were a bottom feeder. Like, can't you recognize that? There's nothing wrong with saying that. It just means you were on the outside of the current power dynamics in the house, and then you need to change it up. She absolutely would not recognize that even after the fact, even after the show. And it was really, really frustrating. So I have no hope for her. It's a 3 for me.
Yeah, it's actually a 3 for me as well. And I feel like Chris in the chat sums it up pretty well by saying she's smart and dumb simultaneously. Like, that's how I feel about her. Because it's like, I have in my notes that she's like a good judge of character. She's pretty intelligent. Then I also have like, she made really dumb moves and she doesn't have the follow through to win. And, you know, so I just feel like it's like, there are some pieces that are there, and then there are other pieces that are undermining those pieces all at the same time. So it's like you get some good moves and then you get some bad moves. And it's just, it's very hard, but she has a really good personality. And I feel like people like her. She's funny. She's like good to hang out with, you know, but it just, I don't know if she has the winner's instinct. I just Nope. felt like she didn't really... It didn't really matter to her, really. I mean, like, it mattered to her to stay in the game, but I don't think she knew, like, what to do to win. And so that's why I give her a 3.
Well, the audience went with a 4 for Kat. A little higher than us, but not by too much. Let's move on to Sis. Let's talk about Sis. Brent, how do you feel about Sis?
Wait. Let me get my paddle. Oh, yeah. I don't need to say much more. Come on. We all saw it. You guys, it's a 1. Come on.
Yeah. One for me as well. And in my notes, I just said she didn't even play.
Yeah. The thing about Sis is that I do feel like there are some occasions where she does make it to the end and gets that, you know, bitter jury vote. But
nah.
Like, that's where she should be, and she didn't make it this time. Like, she should have been there. All of the power players wanted her there, and she didn't make it there. And it's honestly, I credit her more for her eviction than I do Christy to some degree, because she really messed up the campaign. I met her in person, and she is so much more charming than you would imagine. And she did have people on the cast that really liked her, and that made me reconsider my view on like how she might have performed in another season. But then I remembered the people on her cast really liked her, and she still did so poorly. Like, this is one of her better situations, I think. And this is how she did. And so it's unfortunately a 1 for me. Yeah.
By the way, just have to say, real kudos to you and Rob for that interview with Sis after the fact in the backyard, Taryn. That was some chef's kiss. Really fabulous work there. I loved it.
Yeah, you guys did a great job on all your interviews. Very good.
But that one in particular, I felt like that you didn't like fall out laughing. You had a straight face throughout the entire thing. Like, you and Rob were working in tandem. It was fabulous to watch.
Look, Jack's a big guy, so it was very important that we address the situation.
Yes.
Sis got a 2 from the audience. A 1.7.
Generous.
That too, yeah. She might have the lowest rating of anyone here. Yeah, I think she does. All right, let's move on to Nick. Nick is definitely an interesting one. Melissa, what are your thoughts on Nick?
My thoughts on Nick are he gets a 3. I put sometimes smart, so that's a positive. Sometimes dumb, so that's a negative. And then I said he thinks with another body part, .. negative. So that is my opinion on Nick.
Yeah, if not for some really fantastic work by Christy, I feel like he probably has a shot to win at the end here, maybe. And that's an interesting universe to think about. So... it's a 4 for me. As much as I don't want to give him credit, I feel like he did do some positive things in the game. As Melissa correctly points out, some negative things, but most people have not positive and negative things. I do feel like that on balance, his positive things probably outweighed his negative things, but only barely. And it's a close call.
Yeah, I mean, he was good at competitions. It felt like there were times he was doing very well socially and times he felt he was doing very poorly socially. Strategically, he was all over the map. And I do feel like if not for Christie supplanting him in the hierarchy of Jackson and Holly, that he might have done much better in the game. But I keep going back to when he was America's Prankster and just how badly he dropped the ball there. And the fact that, like, I talked to Jackson and Holly about this, and like, if he had come to you and been like, hey, well, let's work together, like, yeah, I at the very least would have like heavily considered that. And like, it just seems like such an obvious play. I mean, anything other than basically what he did would have been better than what he did. And not to mention the fact that he just was way too open about certain things and way too sketchy about others. But I still feel like there's enough there, and he did come close enough that I'm going to give him a 4. I'm going to have a 4 for Nick. And the audience agrees. They went with a 4 as well.
Can we also see that the highest ranked person so far is David? And well, I'm sure he's gonna be higher than the next person as well.
There you go. I mean, that's what a 7 does, I guess. I think it's first of all, I think that all 6 of the best players made it to the final 6, which is very good. Strange. But then also I think a lot of the early players were people who had a lot of potential who didn't really get to showcase it because of the twist that held them down. So it's actually not super surprising to me so far. Anyway, before we get to the final 6, let's talk final 7. And that means Jessica. Let's talk about Jess. It's a 1.
Okay, it's a 1.
Yeah, same. She didn't seem to care about the game. She made a lot of dumb moves, including, you know, when she gets that information from her ally, turning on her ally because she gave her the information. I have no idea. And then also she was not good at competitions. So it's a no for me.
Yeah, Bella was the easiest one. Jess was the second easiest.
Well, Sis was the easiest for me.
But. And Sis was the hardest for me, but...
That's just because you've met her, though.
It is, honestly.
Like, if you hadn't have met her, imagine...
I mean, I met all of them.
No, but I mean, like, for her specifically, imagine if you hadn't met her. Yeah. You were just, like, rating based on, like, what you saw without knowing that she actually can be charming.
No, yeah, completely.
Like, I mean, that's an easy one. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, 100%. So. And I'm not to say that Jess wasn't charming either, but I guess it was more of what I expected from Jess. I don't know.
But I do mean, I do understand what you mean when it's like you meet the people and you have a totally different understanding of them and a totally different read from them. I mean, even if, when you see people on social media afterwards, you have a different feeling for them. Like, I mean, Andy, for example, is like the biggest example I can give where I was like not an Andy fan. Now I'm a huge Andy fan. I think he's so fun on Twitter and I really love him. But it's one of those situations where you see more sides to them. Whereas when they're just in the house, it's like, you don't see all that. And so you're just like, okay, I'm using just the show and just the live feeds from the season to judge this person. Whereas like, if I was using them after the house, cause I don't even know what they've been doing after the house, really. I don't really pay attention to that. And so if I had been like seeing them on social media and their Instagram lives and everything, maybe I would have a different opinion of them. So, yeah.
I will say, I do think that of the 3 that we've given ones to here, I do think that Sis had the most strategic mind, which of course is not saying a whole lot, but and I also feel like she had the best social game of the 3, but there are of course other reasons why she was held down, I think, here, that you know, her chances of winning the game were certainly few and far between. But the audience gave Jess a 2, which means Jess is going to land there at a 1. Let's talk Christie and Melissa. I want to start with you here.
Alrighty, let me get my Christie rating. I gave Christie a 6. I was at a 7, and then after like writing out my reasons, I went down to a 6. Because, you know, I think her emotional aspects are twofold. I think that they're a positive because I think she's really emotionally intelligent. And I think that she's able to say certain things and make people feel a certain way and understand their feelings in order to make them, you know, in order to get in their good graces, which I think was very beneficial. But at the same time, she's really emotional. And I think that she got like so freaked out that she was getting backdoored for like no reason at all. And so I think that that doesn't serve her well in the game because, you know, it gets her flustered. It gets her making moves and talking to people and saying things that she shouldn't be saying. So I feel like there's pros and cons to that emotionality. But, you know, people really liked her. They really liked her.
She had pheromones.
That must be what it is. But yeah, so like Jack was like totally on board with her, even though Jackson was really the one who Jack should have been, you know, on board with. But instead he was going for Christy, even though Christy was behind his back saying, you know, I got to get him out. I got to get him out like the whole time. People really were drawn to her and they really liked her, you know. And so I feel like she could do really well in a game. Because even with all of her emotional outbursts and everything, people still liked her. And I thought that she was pretty intelligent when it came to utilizing her power with Cliff, and, you know, convincing him to make the moves that he did. So I was pretty impressed with Christy. And I feel like if she could tone down some of the paranoia and emotionality, I think that she could do really well.
Yeah, but I don't think she can. Number one. And number two, like the thing with Cliff, like, didn't Cliff bring that up, Taryn? Cliff is the one who said, well, what about if I do something where I let you keep your power? That's how it went, right? Like, Christy.
Yeah, Cliff came up with the idea. Yeah.
Yeah. And Christy was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, that sounds great. So I'm not going to give her credit for that. I mean, I take your credit, Melissa, that she knew not to look a gift horse in the mouth when she saw it. You know, Cliff brought it up and she was like, yeah, I'll take that so I can keep my power. At least she was smart enough to realize that. And I do also agree with you that her overall social game and likability, like, let's be honest, she should not have been evicted at the final six. Like I said earlier, like, Tommy should have gone home or Jackson should have gone home. Christy should not have gone home there. There's absolutely no reason she should have gone home there. I feel like that she did have a shot to win if she got to the end. She was respected by the people. People like her. It's a six for me as well. I she has some mistakes in her game and some obvious holes, the paranoia being the chief most among them. But my goodness, you can't discount how many people just absolutely liked Christy within that Big Brother house. Look, I realize after the fact it's been a mess postseason. She hasn't owned shit. I get it. But within the game, I feel like it works pretty well.
Yeah, I had a chance to talk to Christy at the after party, whatever it is, and I got to talk to her about about her game and how she played, and she talked about how all of her freakouts were very genuine, and I actually brought you up, Melissa, and I said that I'm very happy to hear that because we had somebody named Melissa who thought that she was acting and playing it up, and she was like, nope.
Like, I still believe it's
good
acting.
To know.
She's playing you, Taryn, don't you know? Wow, she's pulled the wool over your eyes as well. Well, I can see. I can see what she's doing, and I all props to her.
Yes. Taryn, Stop the Insanity says that Christy, or I'm sorry, Lucy says that Christy would have gone home a lot sooner if Tommy wasn't there. I don't know if I buy that. I mean, yeah, Tommy did steady her, but I still feel like that those people really liked Christy and she had the power and respect of the house early on with or without him. It wasn't because of Tommy, I don't feel like.
I feel like in the end it helps that Tommy, because didn't Tommy win a veto and like help her and save her, whatever. But I don't feel like she would have gone home like first week, second week, whatever. I think that she would have stayed long. I mean, people didn't really turn on Christy until much later in the game.
Yeah, I think that I mean, he definitely helped her game a lot. He certainly saved her from having her allies turn on her day 44 in particular. I think she made the wrong call on day 44, by the way. But
100%.
But given actually how things played out, I think she probably would have survived in a similar way. Like, she survived her eviction week when Sis left, despite what Tommy was doing.
Yeah, people forget about that. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, that's a really good point, that Tommy wasn't even doing anything to help Christy that week. He had long since thought she was dead and gone in the game. Christy saved herself. So where?
Yes.
What y'all got now?
And
chat saying he saved her twice. What you got?
And Tommy using the veto on her the first time, she was only up because of the field trip twist. She would not have been in danger if not for the twist. And then the second time, we certainly could see a scenario where she goes home there, but the target was Jess at that point. So, you know, I did talk to Holly. I talked to Nicole. I talked to them about how they were talking about shifting the target onto Christy. They both said that they would have pushed to get Christy evicted that week, but hard to know where that would have gone. Jackson was pretty set on wanting Jess gone, so we can't say with certainty that Tommy saved her at that point either. Personally, I think that Christy is a 7. I think that there are a lot of weaknesses to her game. Like I said, she made the wrong call on day 44. I think in some ways she trusted people too much and too little at the same time. I think that she didn't always make the correct decision, but she was always so laser focused on the game. She had great relationships with so many people, especially in the first half of the game. She was very, very messy, and it definitely got her into trouble. But if Jackson and Holly aren't competition maniacs, then it's not going to impact her quite as much. And she held on to her meat shield in Jack. She managed to push out her goat in Sis in front of her. And I think that those are two important things to look at. I think she had a lot of control in the early part of the season. I hope that I do get a chance to talk to her about her game before we fully wrap up all of this Big Brother 21 nonsense. But it's a 7 from me. The audience, though, agrees with you two with a 6.
Nice.
All right.
Highest rating so far, though.
Highest rating
by far. This is the first rating above a 4 for me. So, all right, let's talk Tommy. I'll start with Tommy. I'm also gonna give Tommy a 7. I think he's probably, if I had to choose between Tommy and Christy, I would say Tommy ultimately is probably the better player. I would put him at a higher 7 than the Christy 7, but I think they're pretty close, and I think they have different strengths. I think that Tommy was very, very, very well positioned, but Christy had more control over the season. She was a little bit more out in front at times, but then there were other times that he was a little bit more out in front. I think that Tommy was better at competitions overall, and that certainly is better for his game. He was also, I think, much better at jury management and would have had a better chance to win in the end than Christy did, even though I do think Christy would have had a great chance as well. Overall, I think they're very, very close as players, and I don't know why I stepped out and chose one over the other when I could have just said that they were both 7s and nobody would have been mad at me. But it's a 7 for me for Tommy. I think that he was one of the better players on the season, even though he was not the player that I think a lot of us wanted him to be at the start of the season. He still made an adequate and admirable job and run at things, even though his car broke down all around him. So, Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I gave Tommy a 7 as well. The people loved him. I mean, remember when he was having to be like moderator of these conversations that
mediator,
people were having, mediator, whatever.
Right.
That means something. It means he gets to be in the room with everybody. It means that people think of him as like a neutral party when clearly he's not. And, you know, everyone just loved him. And he seems to be easy to get along with. Also, he's really intelligent. He's smart. And he knows, you know, when Christy was kind of breaking down around him, it was like he knew to kind of jump ship and be like, okay, Christy, do your own thing. He didn't like stick around to the bitter end. He was very well insulated and positioned, and he is also really athletic. He seems like he could win competitions generally. And so overall, I think he'd be a strong player in another season. So that's why I give him a 7.
Yeah, I can't remember who was in the chat who pointed out that he was never actually a target until he actually was the target. So there's something to be said for that. He literally had like, you know, 4 or 5 layers of onions all around him, and they all disappeared. And then he was finally exposed. And you know, maybe on another day wins that competition and saves himself and probably shouldn't have gone home at the final five if you actually think about it.
And I mean, this is something to be reiterated. If the final five it was not elongated, like it normally isn't, it's normally a shorter week.
True. Yeah.
Tommy stays. Nicole said straight up, Tommy stays. So worth noting. And he almost did stay. And if he does stay, he is a favorite to maybe win, though he probably doesn't beat Jackson in the final four veto, and then he probably doesn't win, but he came close. So Brent, what was the number?
Seven. Sorry.
All right, it's seven from the audience as well.
Yep,
straight sevens.
Feel good about Tommy. I think he was probably the best player of the season.
Interesting. Let's talk Cliff and Brent. We're going to start with you.
Cliff, wow, really surprised me. Gladly so. So many people were expecting you to be the first person out. I feel like that most seasons, though, you probably are going to be the first person out. Having said that, you were a charming enough character that you integrated yourself in with this house. And I feel like that there are a finite amount of houses that you're probably going to be able to repeat that in. So it's going to be a four for me. I feel like that you were probably at times a bit too cautious and a bit too differential. It's so funny to me that the one time you decided to push your own agenda, which is at the final five, was the one time you shouldn't have been pushing your own agenda, Cliff. Like yeah. The one time you decided to speak up and do something, you were doing the wrong thing. Yeah. So it's a four for me. I just don't feel like that most of the time Cliff's going to be able to integrate himself into a house that's probably filled with 20 and 30 something Instagram people.
Yeah. I feel similarly with Cliff, but I'm giving him a six because, you know, the first three quarters of the game, I thought that he did really well. I thought that he was really good at reading people, really good at reading the house, really intelligent. I mean, the way he knew how to move forward was really impressive. He was good at competitions, surprisingly. You know, he did a great job with that. People seemed to really like him, and he fit in okay, you know, even considering the fact that he usually the older person doesn't really fit in with the house, but I felt like he did a good job and he made friends. However, second half of the game was not his strong point. I felt like, you know, like Brent said, he did play it too safe, I think sometimes. And that was, you know, you'd think that that would be good for him, but I don't necessarily think it was. And also he was very gullible, very naive in the end to think that Jackson would take him. I mean, he trusted that Jackson would take him over his showmans. I mean, that's just insane. And, you know, making the wrong moves in the end, not so great. So, you know, it was an unfortunate ending for Cliff, but I do think overall he is a strong player because I do think he's very smart and he knows the game. So that's why I'm giving him a six.
Mm. Man, Cliff is so interesting as a player because I think I've said this before, but Cliff played Big Brother on the hardest possible difficulty setting you can imagine. You go in, if you are somebody like Holly, I think, who goes like you have a great advantage going in. You're just in the right age range. You are in the right demographic. You're going to fit in with most people. Like that's going in on the easiest setting. You're on easy mode. Going in as Cliff is like playing on extreme difficulty mode. And a lot of people come in that way. You know, anybody that's going to have trouble fitting in is going to be on a hard difficulty setting. But Cliff had an extremely difficult time throughout the house, not only because of his age and his physicality, but also with how the game played out, with the fact that Camp Comeback was in play. And this applies to a lot of the people who went out in the first four evictions, I want to be clear. But we saw much more of Cliff's game, which is why it's more applicable here. Cliff went through most of the game having a reputation as a crazy, dangerous comp beast threat while at the same time being unable to win most competitions. That is the exact opposite of what you want. You want to be able to win competitions when you need to, but be seen as super weak and not being able to win anything. So it's the complete reverse of that. He also has the, you know, added difficulty of, you know, not immediately fitting in with most of these people. He had a huge majority alliance to work through and tried to split up. I think he played very, very well throughout most of the season, pitting people against each other, breaking through the cracks, integrating himself, finding the spots where he could. And it was a game that I feel like went over the heads of a lot of the audience. I feel like throughout most of the season, they didn't understand what he was doing and misinterpreted it, and success after success continued to confound the audience as to how he was doing this. I think he was that good at times. But there's also the fact that he was evicted. And I do think that without Camp Comeback, he probably wouldn't have been evicted at that spot. But and without being overheard, he wouldn't have been evicted at that spot. But he was overheard and Camp Comeback was in play and he was evicted. Then we also have to look at the end game where he really fell for Jackson in a spot that he really shouldn't have. I don't think it mattered much in the end. I think that it wouldn't have mattered much in the end, but it certainly makes him look like a fool. And then really, most importantly, he can't win competitions. And that's so huge for somebody who, again, has a reputation for being a competition threat, but can't win competitions. And then also has a personality, and he's in the demographic where nobody's going to take him to the final two. That was always our problem with him from the start, was who's going to take this guy to the final two, and he can't win himself there. He somehow managed to get there and with somebody who is capable of winning, who would have taken him to the final two, and he would have beaten. It's crazy what he was capable of doing. But he still didn't get there, and there are still a lot of drawbacks, and the idea that he would do it again in another season is very difficult to conceive. And so I would love to give him something like an 8, even a 7, but I just can't, because I think that it doesn't matter how good you are. If you're going onto the season at a hard difficulty level every single time, then you're going to have trouble most of the time as well. And so I'm actually with you, Melissa. It's a 6 for me. I think that in the history books of Big Brother 21, Cliff will be severely underrated because of the very end of his game. I think there's a lot of stuff that he did earlier in the season that is going to go unrecognized for a long time. But 6 for me, and a 6 from the audience as well. So there you go. Let's talk about Nicole. Melissa, what are your thoughts?
What are your thoughts on Nicole, Melissa?
This was a tough one for me. I ended up giving her a 7 because I think that she's really smart. I thought she had a really good read on the house. I felt like she did get along with people, even when people were not very nice to her, she was able to put that aside and, you know, interact with them in a positive way. And become friends with them down the line. She's not very good at competitions, which is not great. You know, she was at one point and then she wasn't. It was like, I thought maybe it was like a Paris situation where she turns it on down the stretch and then she's just really good the rest of the time, but didn't quite happen that way. She keeps her cool. I mean, that situation with Bella, I would not have kept my cool in that situation. So I was very impressed with her for that, which I think is important. However, I don't know if she necessarily has the follow through. I feel like there was an opening there to tell Cliff, no, we need to keep Christy. And it just didn't happen. She just kind of let it go. And I feel like she needed more strength in her convictions, really, and just to push her own agenda, where I didn't necessarily feel like she was capable of doing that, or maybe she was, but she just decided not to. I don't know. I didn't necessarily see the killer instinct that I like to see. And so I don't know if she has that, or maybe it just wasn't an opportunity, wasn't presented to her. But overall, I felt very good about her game. I think that if you put her in a random house at a random season, I do think that she would do pretty well. Because also she's underestimated. I think that that's a good position to be in. People don't know that she is as intelligent as she is and as good at the game as she is. So, you know, I was impressed with her. So that's why it's a 7.
All right. For me, I love Nicole. Everybody knows this. I don't think she's quite a seven, though. I think for me, I was honestly between a five and a six. I am going to go with the six. And the reason is that something that I talked to her about was just how good she was at damage control. She really was a survivalist in the house. She was a cockroach. She got into trouble at many points throughout the game. That's why I don't think she can be too high in the ratings. I think that strategically, she made a lot of errors, but every time she made an error, she was able to wiggle her way out of it, and that's pretty good. And she's also in the archetype that nobody's really going to be looking at her as a huge threat most of the time, and she really makes good on that, and she uses that to her advantage. I was able to call from fairly early on that I felt like she was going to make it to the end game, and then all she had to do was win a couple of competitions like Paris and she could have the win, and she was very, very close to that. I think that that's a very repeatable performance for her, but she'd have trouble winning some of those competitions, and that's going to be a big hindrance to her capabilities. I also feel like she certainly had a jury that liked her this season and that that might have given her the win against certain people. However, she was going to take somebody that she would have lost against, and there were a lot of other people that she would have lost against. She very nearly voted out the person that she would have lost against, she very nearly voted out the only person she would have won against. And that wouldn't have been great for her game. So, overall, I like her chances in certain situations. I think she's going to make it fairly far most of the time. But clinching the win is always going to be a difficulty for her. I think she's very smart. I think she's great socially, even though she doesn't fit in with the majority of the sort of casting of Big Brother. And it's really that survivalist instinct, that damage control ability that I think pushes her over the edge to a six for me. Brent, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you on the six. I can't go as high as a seven, mainly because I do feel like that she got herself into a few places where probably she shouldn't have got herself into trouble for. And she also was honest with people at times when she probably shouldn't have been honest. Like when she told Jess what she told her, there was no real strategy behind that. It was just, I feel bad for you, Jess. And then of course she got an irrational reaction from Jess and she probably should have paid for that. Gosh, I love her as a player. The chat is making fun of us because, or at least maybe making fun of me because it's like, love her though, after all these people that we love.
10 is a person.
I know, 10 is a person. And you know what? I feel like that counts, okay? I feel like the fact that she is a 10 as a person counts for the purposes of this because it is really hard to dislike Nicole within the Big Brother game, okay? So I do feel like that gives her a leg up in many places where other people, you just want to be around Nicole more than you want to be around someone like, I don't know, Sis or Jess, you know, or Kat. I feel like that actually helps her. So I don't feel like that's necessarily a throwaway thing. I feel like in this instance, it's actually something that's valuable. So it's a six for me, but a high six. And she just needs to be a little bit less honest and a little bit more cutthroat. And I feel like that we've had a really, really great player.
All right. The audience gave her a seven. In fact, small spoilers here. Nicole received the highest rating of any player this season.
From the audience?
From the audience.
Wow.
Which, not surprising, though I would disagree.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah, I see why they did that, but I think it's a little biased.
Yeah. Stop the Insanity says Nicole is an 11 as a person. Yeah, this dial goes up to 11 for Nicole. I can agree on that one. Let's talk Holly. Brent, kick us off here for Holly.
I mean, like you said earlier, in regard to Cliff, I feel like Holly's going to be somebody who always has the leg up walking into the Big Brother game. She's the perfect archetype for something like this. And she was pretty smart about how she played the game. I did listen to her interview with you, and I feel like that she has her own narrative over some things that happened within the Big Brother house that aren't necessarily, that don't align with my sense of reality. But be that as it may, that doesn't change the fact that she accomplished what she wanted to accomplish within the Big Brother game. The other thing is that she was thinking about cutting Nicole, obviously didn't, but then she said during the interview that she might have like cut Jackson and taken Nicole, but I think she would have lost to Nicole anyway. So she was
not going to cut Jackson in any scenario.
All right. Well, no matter which way she turned, she was going to take a winning player to the end. So she got herself into a little bit of trouble there.
There was nobody she could beat in the whole of the final six, in the final two.
That's true. Gosh, she was impossible to get out at various times, except for the final five when they probably should have gotten her out. I think she played a pretty good game, and that's very repeatable. Look, how repeatable is the game? I think very repeatable. I think this kind of a player gets to final six, final five, final four, final two relatively often. I really don't feel like that she's going to be targeted much unless it's like the, you know, episodes or a week two model curse that we used to have all the time. Although given the people they're casting on these shows, it feels like the week two model curse doesn't happen anymore. So I feel pretty good about Holly. I'm going to give her a 7. I give Tommy a 7. I also give Holly a 7.
There you go. Well, I'm going to have, I guess, a slightly different take on Holly. I think that if I were taking the first half of the game up to and including day 44, then I would give her a 7. And I'd be like a little skeptical because like how much did Katz help influence that 7? I'm not sure. But I would be like, you know what? Based on what I saw, I'm going to give her a 7. However, after Kat left the game, I feel like her ability in the game did deteriorate pretty rapidly. What she was doing was not as impressive. And again, from final six onward, she couldn't win the game. There was nothing that she could have done. And that's not great, especially when you have a lot of like volatile personality. I mean, you're next to Jackson. Like, she should have gotten a bitter jury vote against Jackson. She didn't. Up against Nicole, she should have gotten the, like, what did Nicole do? But she wouldn't have. Up against Cliff, obviously she loses to Cliff, obviously she loses to Tommy. If she was up against Christy, she should have been able to win. Who knows? You know, that would have been a very different game. But from all angles, it seems like she might have probably lost against Christy. So, I don't love that. Her jury management was really lacking in a lot of ways. And she is the kind of person that most people, if she did win with a bitter jury, people would be like, ah, well, her jury management was great. Her social game was great. And that just was lacking here. So I didn't love that. Strategically, I felt like, again, after day 44, there just wasn't much there. She very nearly went home. She certainly helped her case by, you know, making a deal to drop. But the fact that she did drop at the final four when she was in the final four HOH just doesn't make any sense. Her explanation for it didn't make any sense to me. She said that she dropped because it would make it less likely that Cliff or Nicole would evict her. But if she wins, they can't. And I couldn't you know, get to the bottom of that. I didn't like that. I didn't like the unnecessary deal she made at the final four. I talked to Jackson about this, that he, you know, he said to me that he did intend to push Holly to make a deal with Cliff and Nicole, that if she won, she would evict Jackson, so that if that did happen, they would be more mad at her than him. There was no reason for her to make that deal. It didn't give her anything. It didn't help her in any way. The only thing she got from it was permission to win the veto, which if she wins the veto, then she's won it and she has the power. She doesn't need permission to win in any way. So there were just a lot of things down the final stretch that just really didn't make any sense. I didn't feel like she made her case very well at the end of the game either. I think that if she had more time to make her case, I don't think that would have helped her a whole lot, to be honest. I think that if anything, it might have hurt her. And so there's just a lot there that I feel like just failed for me. But again, so much great stuff at the start, but having Kat there, I do think helped a lot. You can't discount the advantage that having somebody that you know is going to give you. Honestly, her day 44 performance is like the thing that is kicking this into the highest gear for me, which is a 5 for Holly. So that's what I've got for Holly. Melissa, what are your thoughts?
I am right in between you two with a 6. I agree with everything you guys said. I think Holly's intelligent, level-headed, gets along with people, but I feel like at the end of the game, she was not self-interested enough. I feel like she made a lot of dumb moves just because Jackson and said to make them. I can't believe she threw the HOH. And really, she doesn't really have any reasoning for these things. Whereas Jackson does have reasoning for why he made Holly do these things. So it's just like, I just feel like she would have given her game to Jackson.
And we saw Jackson's on the screen. That's the thing that's the difference for me. Like we saw Jackson plotting in the diary room saying, mm-hmm. you know, if Holly drops here at the Final Four, then they can evict her instead of me. Like it's not after the fact, you know, narrative changing.
It's
for,
not like, oh yeah, this is why I did it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we know that Jackson's was actually happening for the most part. I mean, he may have added a few things here and there, but I feel like that I saw a lot of what was happening from Jackson's point of view. Holly, not quite so much. I do want to address something that Joseph said in the chat. He said that he said it right after I rated her. He said, I feel like a lot of Holly's rating is based on her looks. And yeah, I'll own that I feel like the part of her rating is based on her looks, but I'm looking at the people that they cast on these shows and like the guys that she's going to be hanging out with. And she's like 8-9 times out of 10, probably going to get into a showman's with some guy who's going to be some sort of a meat shield for her and probably go a long way. So yeah, her looks are a part of my rating. I'll own that.
Yeah. I mean, look, I just feel like a lot of her, the first half of the game, like Taryn said, was great. Second half of the game, I feel like she played for Jackson without realizing she was playing for Jackson. So now after the fact, she can say, I wasn't playing for Jackson. I never was intending to do that. But really, she didn't know she was doing it. Like, I just feel like Jackson was controlling her moves. And even if they weren't in her best interest, he made her think that they were in her best interest and she would have done it for him no matter what. And it just doesn't, it's not great. So, yeah, you know, I mean, who knows how she would have played without Jackson. But I think that overall she's a good player and she would do well in another season. But I think she's a great player? No. So that's why I'm giving her a 6.
Right. The audience was with me on this one. They gave her a 5 out of 10. All right. Let's
Here's the winner.
Move on to our winner of Big Brother 21. What are we going to rate him? I can tell you that I actually asked Jackson this question. What would you rate yourself out of 10? He told me he would give himself a 5.3.
Of course he would. Of course he would.
I don't believe that for a second.
My God.
I told him I disagreed. So... Melissa, let's start with you. Where are you on Jackson?
I'm giving Jackson a 7. I think that he is super intelligent. I think that, you know, he's very good at comps. I think he's ruthless, which is something you need to be for Big Brother. I think he's a really good liar. I mean, the way he was able to convince Nicole and Cliff to get Tommy out, based off of nothing, was fantastic. And I felt like the way he was able to convince Holly to do anything was really impressive. I think that he, you know, I think he has issues in future seasons because he looks like a threat. He is a big guy. He would be seen as a threat. You know, I'm shocked that he got as far as he did this season. And also, he's a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type. You never know what you're going to get with him. He is very charming one minute and very crazy the next and ruthless and mean the next. So it's like, you don't know what you're going to get with this guy. And I think that could cause him social problems down the line in the house, in a future house. However, you know, he had really impressive gameplay and he was there to win. And I can absolutely respect that. So that's why I'm giving him a 7.
Yeah, the thing I love about him is that he was ruthless. I mean, you know, we beg people to come on this show. This is why I'm covering Sequester now, because I want gamers. I want people that are hungry for the win. And Jackson got, you know, he was so repulsive in many aspects of his game, but he was not repulsive in this one. He wanted to win above all else. He wanted the freaking confetti. And I, even though we made fun of that, I really appreciated that about him. Mm-hmm. It really gave me something to hang my hat on and say, okay, even though that there were obvious problems with this season and obvious problems with this winner, like, I can at least respect that. Like, he was hungry for the win and wanted it above all else and would have done anything within his power to win the game. Having said that, I don't think it can be missed that Christy wanted him out, like, I don't know, 2 weeks into the season. And she was a pretty big mover and the shaker of the season. It was only because their alliance was held together in part by Camp Comeback, that I feel like that she wasn't able to get him out sooner. He is somebody who rubs people the wrong way and can be a little misogynistic. I'll say it to women. And that obviously, I mean, look, the jury asked him about it. So it's not like it's you know, just me bringing it up. I mean, obviously the cast was aware of it. It's just, how big of a deal is that to this particular cast? Obviously not big enough in this cast, but on a different cast, it might mean something more than what it did here. So it's going to be a six for me. And it's probably a pretty low six, but I'll give it to him.
All right. Jackson's definitely interesting. I think that from a physical standpoint, from a competition standpoint, he is really up there in terms of competitors. He is capable of winning both physical and mental competitions, puzzles. He says he's bad with visual stuff, but he won BB, you know, Flicks, whatever it was, Flicks and Chill. And I think from that standpoint, he is, you know, top tier. You know, he is up there. He is now, you know, tied for second in terms of most amount of HOH and veto wins in a single season. Now, some of that has to do with the fact that there were a lot of physical competitions for him to win. However, he also threw some competitions early on, and that honestly, for me, contributes toward who he is as a player, that he was capable and willing to throw competitions to downplay his abilities in competitions early on, which definitely helped him later. Again, I think that he was able to stand next to Jack, and Jack was the person who was always going to go before Jackson in any scenario. Jackson was certainly a target, but he wasn't the target for a long time. By the time Jack left, Jackson was no longer like the target of the house. He was a target, but he wasn't the target in the way that Jack was for a long time. He did a lot of very smart things. He integrated himself into a majority alliance early on. He maintained relationships with the people outside of that alliance better than most people. And those relationships did come back to help him in a big way later in the season. But at the end of the day, like, you have to remember that without the competition streak, he doesn't get there. And that's big. That's big. If I could confidently say that, you know, the show from now on is going to have big physical competitions as the majority of the competitions toward the end of the game for the rest of the show, then I would say, yeah, this guy's, you know, very, very equipped to do that well. But I kind of feel like they might change it up again. I feel like this is not going to be a consistent trend. That's my theory. If it is, then maybe I'll come back and adjust this rating. But as of right now, it's too short term a trend for me to say that it's going to impact how I view him as a player. So that's a detriment that he did rely on a little bit, the fact that there were so many physical competitions. I love that he is ruthless, as you said, Brent. I love that he tried to get Holly to throw the HOH so that she would be vulnerable. I love that he encouraged her to make a deal with Cliff and Nicole so that they would be more upset with her if she didn't go through with it. I love that kind of stuff. I love that what he did with the lie he came up with, the eavesdropping, the way that he was able to get Tommy out of the house and keep Holly in. There's a lot of great stuff that he did. I would be tempted to give him an 8 just on the how much I like that stuff. But for me, it's a 7. And it's a 7 because of a lot of the things that you guys have talked about. A little overly reliant on competition wins can be very abrasive at times. I talked about a long time throughout the season that he was a very two-faced player, that two people's faces. He was often very charming, very, you know, Southern gentleman, whatever you want to call it. And then there was another side of him that was very abrasive. And that side did come out sometimes and people did see it and it did rub people the wrong way on occasion. I feel like you know, this was a great spot for him. I feel like in other spots, he might not be as successful, but he still has that killer instinct. He still has a great ability to lie and to con people. And that's a great ability to have in the game. So for me, it's a 7. And honestly, I think for me, it's probably the highest seven of them. I would probably say for me that Jackson is the best player of the season. And he also won the season. I mean, the fact that he won the season, he managed to win this season. He got a jury vote. That's impressive. Tyler lost a jury vote. Tyler is, I think, a very, very likable guy. He lost a jury vote. Jackson won, and Jackson probably would have won against Nicole, who was also very, very likable. So it's not that he only won because he was next to Holly either. So that's something to account for as well. But so for me, it's a seven, and that's the way it goes. The audience, very nearly a seven, but they actually went with a six for Jackson. So they were with Brent on that one.
Interesting. No one got higher than a seven. Seven's the highest.
That's the way it goes. I mean, I think I said it earlier in the season that I felt like there were a lot of sevens on the season, and that that they really like kept each other at bay. And you look at the final six, and it's, you know, three sevens, three sixes, total average there. So there
it's
you go.
Funny, it's like each partnership has a seven and a six.
Yeah. Like, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. You have the stronger player of each partnership.
Yeah. I mean, I don't agree with all of them, but.
No, but just fine. Like it looks like that. You know, yeah. It's like you've got the seven and the six, the seven and the six, the seven and the six. And then it's like 1-4-1-3-3-3.
So I asked the audience, where do you rank Jackson as a winner? And about 40% said middle. About 25% said top half, and about 25% said bottom half. And then we got some haters there. 10% said worst winner. But for the most part, this is very pretty evenly placed here, that right about middle and then evenly split between top half and bottom half. So this is pretty middle ish in general, pretty middle of the middle for Jackson from the audience. But I'm very curious to know from you, Brent, where would you place Jackson in the winner rankings?
I don't know. I thought about this, and this is hard because this game, I don't feel like it's totally repeatable because of all the comp wins. But then again, Big Brother has made more strides towards physical competitions lately. So how do I reconcile that? Also, he played a wonderful game and managed to win it. But as I said, he was targeted by Christy early on because he was rubbing people the wrong way. How do I quantify that? I guess I would probably put him, you know, middle of the road. It would, you know, out of what, 21 winners, 11, 12, probably 13, and somewhere in there. I mean, I'd have to think about it a little bit. Like, I'd have to, like, basically, the way I do things, I break them down into categories, award people points that I think are important, and then look at the points, and it tells me what to do. So I haven't done that yet for the winners. So, I mean, we may do a podcast again at some point, but I'm probably thinking middle of the road for him.
He's top for me. So, yeah,
top
if we're
what?
Just splitting it top half. If we're just top splitting half, okay. It down the middle, he's above middle. But I wouldn't say he's up in the top. But he is above middle for me.
Yeah, I think right around middle to maybe upper middle. I think and probably upper middle. You know, it's hard. It's easy to say upper middle, but then when you start thinking about the winners, like who is he actually better than? That's when it gets a little more difficult.
That's the thing, yeah.
So you want to be careful. But like where would I place him in relation to Casey? I think he's a better winner than Casey. I think he's a better winner than Josh. I think he is a, is he a better winner than Nicole? I think Nicole played a better game, but she was also a vet when she did it. And that kind of gives her a bit of a subtraction. So I think right around that sort of Nicole, Steve, I think in that area is where I'd probably put Jackson, and they are right around the middle to upper middle for me. But if you put enough people in the upper middle, eventually it just becomes the middle. So, you know, I'm not exactly sure where that falls, but right around there, I think that, he is on the upper side of the winners that we have gotten that have been good ever since, you know, Derek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
All right. Let's see. I asked people to rank the players from their favorite to their least favorite. This is pretty unsurprising, I think, that Nicole is up there at the top, followed by Cliff, and then Tommy, Ovi. That's the top four. And then we got the bottom four is Jack, Sis, Bella, and Nick. And then, you know, a lot of people in the middle there.
So Jack is bottom?
Jack is the bottom. Or is it?
Okay. So it's Jack, Sis, who?
Jack, Sis, Bella, Nick, Jess, Jackson, Holly, Sam, Christy, David, Kemi, Kat, Ovi, Tommy, Cliff, Nicole.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
There you go. I also asked people how they felt about the various twists and turns on the season. And spoiler alert, people hated them. All of them.
Not good.
So if 0 is hate it and 100 is love it, the night one eviction got about a 10. Whacktillion powers got about a 20. Camp Comeback was like a 25. America's Field Trip was like a 35. I think that was the best performing thing. America's Prankster was a 25. And then I asked about the prevalence of physical competitions in the end game, and that got about a 15. People would not like to see more physical competitions. They would like to see a return to something, or maybe not a return necessarily, but just not as much physical. That's what they'd like to see.
Yeah, I would too.
Me too.
I have to agree with these. I feel like none of the twists this season were good, and none of them even had much potential to be good. I think Camp Comeback was the most appealing just by the sound of it, but also was one of the more detrimental ones to the season overall. And basically all of the other ones either fell flat or just weren't great, or actively, you know, subtracted from the enjoyment of the season. And I definitely agree about the physical competitions. I would love to see more variety, especially in the end game. I wouldn't mind as much to see all these physical comps at the start of the game and then, you know, change it up toward the end of the game. But when the end game competitions are very, very physical, it becomes very repetitive. So I would not like to see that again.
And regarding the twists, the image that sticks with me, and I would love to know the intern's name or producer's name who thought of this Camp Comeback twist. That image after Cliff won the buyback competition of David and Kemi and Ovi sitting up there in their uniforms with Julie Chen, that is the image that sticks with me from this season.
Surely somebody lost their job.
I would hope.
Not good. Bad idea.
They couldn't hide from it anymore. That's what I loved about it. As much as I hated that result, I mean, I love Cliff, but, you know, I wanted Kemi, I wanted David. We wanted different things for different reasons. It wasn't anything against Cliff. It was more against a lot that I was for other people. The thing was that I loved that result because it forced the show to recognize something. It forced the show to deal with some of their bullshit. If that doesn't happen, I don't know if they actually hold Jack's feet to the fire. I don't know if they let Kemi say what she's got to say in the finale. I really don't, Taryn.
I am honestly slightly optimistic about the future of the show because this did cause such a big stir. We have confirmation that it's renewed for another season, and they did say that there would be looking into, which, you know, of course they're going to say, but like, honestly, they didn't need to say it. Like they've had these sorts of things before and been pretty silent. Like they didn't say, oh, we're going to look into it during season 15.
Right.
But there's actual like new leadership at CBS now. And so I actually feel like maybe that actually might happen.
Got their attention.
Yeah. Like I don't think they want this to happen again. And I feel like, you know, maybe they actually will look into this a little bit and try. And I don't know if they're capable of recognizing what the problem is, but you know, we'll see. We'll see. We also did, another thing that that ended here during the finale was the Stockwatch that we've been keeping track of.
Oh yes, let's
all
talk
season
about
long.
That. Let's
and talk, let's talk we have Stockwatch. To reward those that did well in the Stockwatch. Who are those people?
Who won? Well, first of all, if the perfect play, the imaginary person that makes the perfect play every time, how much would they have made, Taryn?
59,000.
After
and how
starting
much
off
was
with
our highest
200.
How much was our highest?
The highest person was HH Raptor Pro from Reddit, who made 8,745. Wow.
Even our best person is nowhere near a perfect play. We're not good at this, guys.
I mean, to be fair, it's insanely difficult to get perfect play every time, and it really compounds upon itself.
I was gonna say, like, RH, what's his name?
HH Raptor Pro.
RHH Raptor Pro has increased his stockpile by about 4,000% there, Melissa. 4,000% return. So,
Still not perfect.
It's pretty good.
I'm shooting for perfection here, if you can't tell with my score on
it's amazing to me that Taron Armstrong like completely screwed himself on a week where he forgot to turn in his stuff. He knew that he needed to do something, and yet it just slipped his mind, and still you made it into fourth place, Taron.
Yes.
That's insane. Not cool. It's a fluke. I don't like it.
Like, doing the math, I'm pretty sure I would have won if I hadn't made that mistake, but that's fine. User Powell Time from Reddit came in second place with 7,259. Basically everybody in the top 13 went either all in on Jackson or a significant amount in on Jackson to make the top 13 or top 10, if you might want to cut it off there. At Taylor Allen 133 on Twitter was third place with 6,230, and then I did make fourth place with 5,936, and then Pesky Muggles on Discord in fifth with 5,466. That's our top five, and you can see here on the screen the overall placements. Here we did get a fellow live feed person, correspondent, Pooyah. Updater Pooyah in 21st place. He managed to beat all of the other podcasters apart from me, and took home 21st place with $2,100. And then if we continue to move down, Melissa, you were actually third of all of the podcasters.
Wow, I'm amazing. I had no idea.
That's actually impressive considering where you were.
Yeah, I'm actually very impressed. I really thought I was like off the charts at this point. So
I'm off the charts.
Kirsten there in fourth of the podcasters. She went in on Holly there. Bad choice.
What were you
thinking? Did not pay off.
Come on.
And then if we continue to go all the way down, Mary there at the very bottom with $1 in fifth of the podcasters. And then we have a lot of people who dropped out as well, including Brent, Rob, and yes. Matt and some others. Jenny, all of you guys dropped out at various points.
Jenny, we barely
game.
Knew ye. Yeah.
So, crown me the Stockwatch winner for the second season in a row.
Yay! I feel like we need to give it
and
up
I'm
for...
I'm third place.
You are third. Yes, I'll give it up to all of you all for whatever you've accomplished. I'll give it up. We need to give it up to... Yeah, thank you, Jeffrey. I'm off the podium. In figure skating terms, I'm off the podium. Rob finally won...
Yes.
Big Brother draft. He's done that before. He had Jackson in his draft, and Jackson won. So Rob,
good for Rob. He gets to decide the draft order.
First draft win for Rob. I wish we could ask him how it feels, but actually, he recorded a rehapisode where he talked about how he felt about winning the draft. So if you're a patron and you have the access to the rehapisodes, then you can watch that.
Watch that rehapisode, because that has Taron Armstrong talking to Dr. Will. And the funny part is, like, Taron is so cute. He goes up to him. He's like, my name's Taron. I work with Rob as a podcast. And he's like, oh, very cool. You know how Dr. Will can be charming, but I'm like, we know Dr. Will. So I'm watching him. I'm like, okay, is he just giving Taron bullshit here? Or is he actually giving him the time of day? And then Taron's like, yeah, we recorded a documentary, a big look back at your season. And Will's like, I heard of that. I heard of that. And Taron's eyes were just like, boom, like that. It was
Well, actually knew that he knew about it. But
he like tweeted about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, it always helps to show appreciation. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. He might not have remembered that he had tweeted about it before.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, he seemed very pleased that I was like coming up to him and being such
kissing the ring.
Yeah, exactly. He was very pleased about that. He even like turned to his wife and he was like, "Hey, look at this." And so I was like really like, okay, I see it. But yeah, that was awesome. That was awesome getting to meet Will. I've met all of the top four at this point. Top four winners.
Taryn, what was that elevator that you were in with Rob and a bunch of people like Kaylin and Swaggy and like, I don't know if Morgan or Ika, somebody who was in there? I don't know. What was that?
Like Ika. So we were going or I was going to head down to the rap party with Ika and Dimitri's. But the interviews had taken so long that by the time we actually finished, it was over.
The rap party was over.
Yeah. That night. Okay. And so like we left and we were asking, we asked somebody, like, hey, is it still going on? And they were like, oh, most people have left. There's like a couple people left there, like, just hanging out. And we're like, okay, there's only a couple of losers left. So we just started walking back and I was texting Caitlin like, hey, you know, have people gone elsewhere? Have they gone somewhere else to continue to party so that I might catch up with them? I wasn't really getting much in the way of a response when all of a sudden the people that had been hanging back at the rap party showed up on a golf cart, and it was of course Caitlin and course. Company and they were screaming at us like, ah, and
I'm so jealous. I want to know.
It was like her and a bunch of people from Love Island and Bailey and Swaggy, and she was just like, get into the elevator, because they had gotten in, and then we just went in, and it was very, very packed, and people just started screaming and jumping, and it really was like the Tower of Terror. It was very loud.
I'm out of here.
Very loud.
I don't want to die.
Then we went our separate ways afterward. It was very this is an interesting experience.
Yeah, I remember being on an elevator one time and somebody, like, I was with a bunch of like straight boys, and like they decided to like jump in the elevator all together, and they thought it was hilarious, and then the elevator actually did stop. Freaking idiots.
Don't mess with elevators.
Yeah,
dangerous.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so that was that. I also went to the rap party the next night. That was the party that I spent more time at. I got to talk to pretty much everyone there, and you know, hung out with a couple of people beforehand as well, and that was fun. Yeah, it was a good time. I enjoyed the experience. It was good to talk to them. It's very strange, you know, people when they come out of the house, their experience is like they are like wide-eyed, like they are like, oh, what's happening? Like it's definitely weird, and you know, I think it definitely takes a while for you to really regain your composure and like understand what the world is again, because it's such a strange experience coming out of that house after so long.
Yeah. Your interactions,
you forget that they're just coming out of the house. Like, you forget that they have not been with other people and like with their phone, and this is all like a crazy thing, because you're not thinking that way because you are not coming from a house, you know, like. So right. when I went to the finale party this past year, or not this year but the last year and then a few years ago, like it didn't register until like after the party that this was the first time that they were like actually socializing with people other than their housemates and actually like in the real world. And it's weird to think about that, because, you know, it's gotta be so wild that you come out of the house and the first thing you do is go to this like crazy party where there's a ton of people there who want pictures with you and want to talk about your experience and want, like, you know, to just hang out with you and buy you drinks and whatever. And it's like, it's got to be so strange that that's like your first foray back into the world. Wild.
Yeah. So It was a great time. I really enjoyed, you know, getting to go into the backyard and all of that. Thank you to all of the wonderful patrons and listeners of the podcast for making that sort of thing happen. It's very, very much appreciated. But of course, make sure you also stay tuned because there are plenty of other shows to watch out for, including Sequester, which we, Brent and myself have already recorded a preview-ish podcast for. It's a Why You Should Watch Sequester podcast. That's season 3 of Sequester, which you can just jump right in if you want. We'll be starting in about a week and a half, November 3rd. That Sunday will be the first episode of Sequester. There's also a show I've been talking about called The Circle, which people should check out. It's in the UK right now, but there is a US version coming soon to Netflix that is very interesting. I recommend people check that out. I talk a little bit about it on the Taran show, where I actually interviewed one of the contestants, and I've streamed on Twitch about it a few times, explaining why you should watch it and what it is. We also have news. I think they're still just mostly like very, very confirmed, mostly rumors, but I believe that Big Brother Australia is coming back and will be played, maybe not with the exact North American rule set, but it will be played with some kind of they vote each other out rule set. Rule set where it will be.
Don't you hate it when that happens, by the way?
Yes.
I know, when your throat just goes and closes up. I've had that happen before, and I'm like, oh god, that's terrible. Go
especially because then you try to continue talking and now all of a sudden it's like, ah, I'm like this. But I believe they will be filming it ahead of time and then releasing it like they do Survivor, after the fact, edited episodes, which means obviously no viewer involvement. So that'll be interesting to watch out for. And of course, Big Brother Canada 8 is going to be on the way in the spring. Survivor is on right now. So many things to watch out for. And we'll be covering certainly some of it. I would love to cover The Circle in some capacity. We will be covering Sequester. Make sure you find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taran Armstrong, where I will be talking about all kinds of stuff like shows and games and right. to people and all kinds of fun stuff.
A couple people in the chat are asking me where my interviews are. For those of you who don't know, the day after the Big Brother finale, I went down to Atlanta and interviewed the contestants before they started the game of Sequester. Those interviews will be released. I think it's either going to be Sunday and Monday or Monday and Tuesday with the women first and then the men. 10 women, 10 men. And you will get to see those. I was in a suit and everything, so it's going to be very fun. There's something else I wanted to ask you too, Taran. I can't remember what it was. Maybe it was about The Circle. Like, do you enjoy the the end part of the circle of trust? I don't want to spoil anything for you. I haven't watched it, but did you enjoy the mechanism at the end? You haven't? Oh, you haven't seen it? Okay, cool. All right.
Well, I've seen season one. I haven't. I'm halfway through season two. They are all available on YouTube. By the way, The Circle uploaded them.
Okay, cool. Good.
So they're all available. But I'm only halfway through season two, so I no spoilers.
Yeah, yes. no spoiler. It's a very, very interesting premise, and the way that it plays out is very interesting. I don't think it's for everyone. Matt Hoffman was texting me like, "What is this nonsense?" but I enjoyed it. I think a lot of you might enjoy it as well. So definitely give it a shot. But
my recommendation is to watch The Circle at 1.75 speed on YouTube and just skip past the boring stuff.
By the way,
it's so slow. Like, you know, Big Brother Australia and Big Brother UK, like it's for some, like I'm sure some people love that style, but for me it's too slow for me. So if I put it on 1.75 times speed, it's just like, okay, this is great. Everything's happening all at once, but you know, it makes it more like a US version of a show, but yeah.
Well, that's pretty fast, actually, Melissa.
Yeah, well, Sequester is definitely not a slow show. It's a very fast-paced show. So if you're interested in that, make sure you check that out. Or at least listen to the podcast that we recorded. Just went out today.
Yeah, our podcast that went out today, it's only an hour long. So just like, you know, if you love me and Taryn, really, it's me and Taryn together. Come on.
It's like the first half of it is about why you should watch them. The second half is us talking about season two. So if you don't even care about us talking about season two and just want to hear us talk about Sequestra, the show and the format and why you should watch it, then it's a very quick listen if you stop halfway through. So yes. I recommend checking out the podcast.
People in the chat are asking, yes, the contestants for season three are out. And Lucy, those interviews, the video interviews will be on the Rob as a Podcast or Reality TV Wrap-Ups YouTube page, YouTube channel, rather, uploaded on probably, like I said, Monday and Tuesday at the latest. And then Taryn and I are going to go through the contestants and release an audio podcast where we evaluate them. So you can look for all that. I'll tweet it out. Just follow me on Twitter and I'll definitely tweet the links.
Yes, you can find Brent on Twitter at @OneLuckyGay. Melissa is at @ItsMelissa with three of those A's. Someday she'll change it to four A's.
Never.
Never.
Any final thoughts, though, on Big Brother 21 before we complete the journey? And of course, let me know if you have any ideas for the hashtag in the chat.
I mean, happy to be done with it. I don't mean that in a shady way. It was a well constructed season. There were heroes and villains and underdogs that we got to root for. And we almost came close to having our amazing, you know, fairy tale ending. Didn't quite get it, but the best player of the season probably did win in the end, and you really can't ask for much more than that. That said, it was a lot to bear as we went along, especially in the early going. I started to question my love of Big Brother as a whole, watching the first 4 weeks of the season, and I still haven't really gotten any answers from those people on the show about, did they not realize what they were doing during the first 4 weeks of the season? It was really not fun to watch that, but overall I feel like the season probably ended in a positive way. If you appreciate good gameplay and hungry players, right. Jackson certainly gave us that, so thumbs up for me, I guess.
Yeah, it was a tough first half of the season, but the second half really picked up. We had a great final six, full of people who were good players who were hungry to win. And, so overall good season with some tough moments for sure. But I'm looking forward to the next thing.
Yes. All right. Well, what a season it's been. What a summer. It's honestly Big Brother, regardless of the quality of the show as it's going, I still am always going to love Big Brother as a whole. And I definitely love covering it, especially with you guys and the audience and everybody in this community. Maybe not everybody, but most people in this community who are very, very wonderful. So I want to thank everyone for hanging out with us all summer long. I hope you come and join us at the very least for Big Brother Canada 8. That should be a lot of fun. And then if you are averse to the cold, then you might hold off and wait for Big Brother 22. But if you do that, then I'll see you then. It will be a lot of fun, I'm sure. That's what I've got for you. So thank you all so much for the season, for everything. Come find me on Twitch. We'll hang out. You don't have to leave me forever. Now that Big Brother's over, you can find me. I'll know who my day ones are, who stick with me even when Big Brother's not on. Check that out. But man, I didn't see Camp closed. Camp is over. No bird, no bush. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
All right. So for Brent and Melissa, I am Taryn Armstrong. Hashtag no bird, no bush. See ya next season.